welcome to another exciting broadcast day.
866-901-ADAM, 866-901-ADAM.
Found it.
We'll talk to you. Danny Bonaducci over there. Teresa Strasser to his right. I got to say, I don't know how you guys feel about this. You have your own representation. You should probably deal with it with them. But I'm going to ask for more money because when I started this job, it was 6 a.m. to 10 a.m.
Right.
At some point, somewhere around month number five and a half, it got switched to 5:59, which may, in fact, only be 60 seconds.
Oh.
But it's a colossal mind F.
You know, I didn't know that that's weird that you would say, because when I just yelled out, I found it, because I walked in the door as the music was playing.
Mm-hmm.
I finally found that Starbucks on Wilshire, and so I went because I had the time. I'd have had an extra minute and not been so panicked. I didn't know that.
This show used to begin at 6 a.m., and at some point we made the switch to 5:59, and it's the longest minute in the world. It's really more like 5:59 and 15 seconds or something like that. But it's symbolically, you know what it's like? It's like when they're selling you a car and it's $9,999. It's only $1 away from being 10 grand, but symbolically, the 10 grand counts for more somehow.
There are things that will bother me, and I happen to be listening to a replay on the way in. The thing with the nitrogen yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Say that we didn't have a radio show, that you had just had that conversation with that guy that wanted to put nitrogen in his tires instead of oxygen, and you told him there are molecules are bigger and so on because people just heard it. If you just had that conversation, or I had that conversation, was that right, and the guy walked away, I might hire a detective to find that guy so I could tell him. Stuff, there's certain things like 1 minute, or just being right against an a-hole that can keep me up for, that I'll obsess about.
Well, I do find that a lot of people have a lot of energy about stuff they know nothing about. I know, and then you get angry. Let me give you a quick story on that.
All right.
Friend of mine has this thing called a slingback. You put it onto your computer, and then you can watch TiVo anywhere you go on your laptop computer.
I don't even have to.
Now, I don't know how to... I'm not that technical, but the point is whatever this device is, it sounds magical for me because I watch a ton of TiVo, and it's like having your television set. One of the worst things, if you travel a lot, like we all do, is when you're used to the things you're used to at home. And for me, TiVo is one of the biggest. For you, it's your wife. For me, it's TiVo. Mm-hmm. I married Mrs. TiVo. When you go on the road and you go to that hotel and you have a choice between watching the handful of stations they've decided you could watch and nothing's on that you want to watch, it sucks. The idea that you could watch your favorite shows, that you could watch Breaking Bonaducci when you wanted to watch it on the road, on your TiVo, sounds like a fantastic idea to me. So I was saying, I was talking to a friend of mine.
That sounds like a brilliant idea to
and
you.
And we have the same agent. And I wanted to give him a gift this year for Christmas. And this is, you know.
I've noticed that about you, by the way. I don't think to do that. I send gift baskets to, like, my wife. I'll have them do very impersonal. But you've mentioned that several times since I've worked here a couple weeks. Oh, yeah, well, you know, you find out what he drinks, then you give him a bottle of this. And they're good bottles. You're a present giver.
Well, thank you. I have a quick digression here, which is I was not raised by human beings.
Right, me either. I always say I was raised by wolves.
Wolves, yeah. For me, wolf is a little noble.
Yeah, little noble. Me too, I think that's the way it comes out.
I'm going to go with sloths.
Okay.
Fine.
Okay.
Different from mine.
Slower. Lazy, but not
wolves,
hateful.
Wolves travel in the pack and eat, get things done. They cover ground. You know?
That's what
you
eat their young.
The Corollas, we spread out and nap.
Okay.
That's what we do every, the Corollas, we'd all get together for a reunion, and we'd all get together at the same park, and everyone would yell, spread out and nap. And that's the way we did. But we didn't celebrate birthday parties. I don't know what anyone's birthday is in my family, except for my sister.
I don't know what anybody in my birthday.
We didn't have cards, weren't given, Christmas wasn't done right, like nothing was done right. And my parents never gave each other an anniversary card or a present. People didn't go to graduations or events or attend anything. So I spent the better part of my adult life asking what normal human beings do. if it's somebody's birthday, shall I get them a card and should I
right.
show up or do they deserve a present? It's really like being taught. It's like in Pretty Woman when the guy pulled what's-her-name aside and said, look, this is your salad fork, and this is the right. shrimp fork, and this is the dinner fork. I've been going through my whole life having people tell me what fork to use because my forking parents didn't do anything.
I have no traditions because of the way I was raised. You know, he didn't do anything, right?
Right.
So I only have my wife's tradition. We do stuff her family did, which seems, and by the way, at a certain age, do you find it difficult? Like, you should have some family traditions, but now I don't want them. It's too late to do anything weird under a Christmas tree. I don't want them now.
I know. I essentially pay people to create traditions.
Right.
Go put those Christmas stockings up. Go do the tree. But back to the people throwing you off who know nothing.
Okay.
I said to my friend Daniel, I said, Daniel, I want to get our agent, James Baby Doll Dixon, a gift, and I think I know the one to get him because he travels constantly and he always has a laptop. I said, I'm going to give him the sling back. I know he's got TiVo because the guy represents Jon Stewart and Steve Colbert and Jimmy Kimmel, and he watches all the late night shows. Oh, I'll be on the Carson Daly show tonight. He'll be watching me, but
on tonight, really? Is that a plot?
On
right
tonight,
now?
Yes. Thank you. But he will TiVo that probably. And I said, I'm going to get him this thing. And my buddy looked at me and he said, he doesn't have TiVo. And I said, how do you know he doesn't have TiVo? I you know what? I just know. I'm pretty sure he doesn't. I don't think that gift's going to work for him. I don't think he's got. And I was thrown off the trail at that point. I was crestfallen because I thought, this is perfect. You know when you dial in a gift for someone and you think, he's going to love this.
Right.
Yeah.
And I don't know, things $200. It's not a fortune, but it's going to work perfectly for this guy. It's going to really help his life because I really think, what can I do to, like, really, I don't want just something he's going to set aside
right.
or trade out to his neighbor or something or re-gift. I want something. So I said something, and my buddy talked me out of it. He just said, and he's the guy who has one. He has one and
right.
told me about it. But he said, James Dixon, now he's not a TiVo guy. He doesn't whatever. And I thought, oh. And then I was stumped for the next 2 weeks. I was just walking around scratching my head. And I never got him a gift. And now it's after the new year.
Right.
And it's bugging me because I want to send him. He's out in New York. I want to send him out a gift. So it's. I think, you know what? I'm dead set on this thing. So I call his assistant. I just ask the guy, hey, does he have TiVo? Yeah, he does. Yeah, he uses it all the time. And I'm thinking about getting him one. Oh, he'd love that. That'd be perfect for him, yeah, because he watches all the time. And I thought, okay, and I got it, and I sent it out yesterday. But the point is this guy who knew nothing. Obviously,
right.
he had no idea. It's not like he had a conversation with my agent about TiVo. He just decided he was going to tell me unequivocally this guy did not have TiVo, even though he had no idea. And I feel like there's a larger and larger segment of society that is willing to volunteer erroneous information and stand by it and dig in when obviously they know nothing.
Yeah,
he has no idea whether he has TiVo or not, clearly, and they don't couch it that way. They don't say...
No, I'm with you 1,000%.
You know, I've never spoke to the guy, and this is based on nothing but a gut feeling, but I'll bet he doesn't have whatever, which in which case I would investigate. But no, they say he does not.
Right.
Yes.
Okay. Want to hear my little issue? And the fact is that this comes up at my house, and you know I'm still trying to find out how I'm doing at my job. So I ask a lot of questions, and how clever and bright people think you are comes up a lot.
Wow, that's nice.
That's super nice. I love that to be happening to me or to me. You know, it does, by the way.
Thank you.
But no, one of the things about you when they describe you is, oh, he's so smart. All those guys. Why are you listening to people who know nothing all the time and then doubting yourself?
That's a good question, because you instinctively knew that you were right, but somehow he convinced you otherwise.
I, again, hate to point the family at the Sloth family.
Right.
But my family did not do a great job with my self-esteem in this sense. You know, you grew up in an environment where people are putting out cigarette butts on you. And smacking you in the face, which is...
While reading books in Latin and Greek.
Right.
And then hitting you with them. You haven't lived to even hit with the Iliad.
Well, the Odyssey really stings.
My parents were stupid, but I'd get hit with books on tape.
Okay.
So, My family would never raise a hand to me ever physically or yell at me I was stupid or anything else.
Oh, God.
But what they did do is convince me that I should worry more about other people than myself. It was very slow. Yeah, but maybe they took it a little bit too far. Like, for instance, my famous story, even in my adult life when I used to do Loveline many years ago, simultaneously, me and Ricky Rackman from Headbangers Ball were
That's got to be a treat.
Oh, that was a good time. We're on the show simultaneously. He's probably saying the same thing when I'm telling him I'm working with Bonaducci.
CeCe DeVille wants to do a television show with me. I swear to God, I'm not kidding.
Well,
can you imagine?
We're busy, but him and Rackman could certainly team up. I said to my grandmother, I said, no, Rackman, not a comedic genius and not exactly the world's, you know, he's no Ryan Seacrest. And
no.
He said, my grandmother said to me, how's it going over there on the radio show? And I said, well, you know, honestly, it's kind of tough because Rackman talks a lot and he talks over me and he doesn't do the give and take so well. And he's a little nervous, I think, that I'm going to take his job, frankly.
He's kind of an idiot, though,
he's
right?
kind of an idiot.
Yeah.
He's overcompensating. And so, he's talking a lot. He doesn't give me a chance to talk very much. And my grandma just looked at me and said, I bet he'd say the same thing about you.
Devil's advocate.
You've never... Listen, you old coos. You don't know Ricky Rackman. You've never listened to the radio show. And why? And then I stopped and I said, do you think when Ricky Rackman goes to his grandmother's house to complain about Adam Carolla, she defends me? Do you think that's how it works? Because that's not how it works. So I grew up in a family that basically said, look, don't worry about yourself. What about the other guy? Don't be so fast to... A general sort of low, we're not going to go to your football games, or we're not going to go to your graduation. So when somebody says, I know something that you don't know, I immediately feel, insecure is not quite the word, but I trust them. I think I would never say something, I would never say I know something you don't know unless I absolutely knew
sure.
it. So when they say it, I think, well, they must know something, and that my whole... It's like Ricky Rackman must know something is really what my family...
That's frightening that you could do that.
That is my family, so I just walk away and go, oh, I guess not.
Because I think it's interesting that we're all partners, and the differences and similarities between us and our families. I'm going to give you the closest I can think of to the advice my dad would say to me under that circumstances and mean.
Under which circumstances?
The circumstances you and Ricky Rackman, he talks when you don't want him to. He's kind of an idiot, so I should be talking. It'd be a better show, and I don't like it. That's all.
Right.
That's what it would come down. My dad would look at me and say, and mean this. These would be directions. Pull him aside. Whisper in his ear. And say, listen, man. One night you're going to wake up, and I'm just going to be standing there. And that'll be the last time you ever interrupt me.
Wow.
I would almost prefer that to the benign neglect that I think both Adam and I were raised with.
Well, the difference between the wolf family
and the sloth
family.
My dad was going to kill some guy.
I like it, though. He's on your side. He's got your back. I'd rather that.
My dad's so... But he could do the most violent things to his children, but it's because he had his back. That's why I don't hate him, and that's why I admire him.
Yeah.
I can say this, that with my hand to God... I've never received a piece of advice from anyone in my family ever about anything. I've never had a conversation with my dad about future, about women, about fighting, about career, about finances. I've never had a discussion with anyone. You know, people say to me all the time,
"How would I know that?"
Oh, you got when you first decided you were going to get into comedy, your parents must have flipped.
Right.
They want you to stay in college. No. Did you ever? What did they have to say about it? I never had a discussion with them about it. I never talked to them about what I was going to do for a living, where I should go to college, who I should date. I never had a discussion. There was not one piece of advice dispatched by anyone in my family toward anyone else ever.
I had one. What? When I was 11 years old, and it's in my book. It's a family lore, this story. I'm going to work. I'm 11 years old. There's 500 people in my front yard screaming. They've got signs and stuff like every other day. And I'm going to work, and my dad was up for the first time. And he put his hand on my shoulder. I'm 11 years old, and he looks at me and he says, just remember, acting is one step below pimping. And then pushed me outside.
You're supposed to know what pimping is at 11?
Yeah.
In my house.
Wow. And by the way, that wasn't the euphemized, hey, big pimp. You know, that was when Cameron Diaz calling Justin Timberlake a big pimp daddy. That meant pimping.
He meant
you turned women out.
I write Dynamite in 30 seconds, and you actors get all the money for doing nothing is what it meant, you old whore. That's what he meant.
Kelly?
Hi, Adam.
What's happening, Kelly?
Hey. Just wanted to say your show makes a huge difference. I know you'll be really impressed, but I'm a high school teacher, and as I drive to work, I listen to you, and you guys always make me laugh, so thank you so much.
Thanks, Kelly.
I'm impressed, Kelly.
Where are you going to work?
I move around a lot. I just got back from South Africa, and I live in Arizona now, I work kind of north of Scottsdale.
So you're listening in Arizona. Well, thank you. You have a comment or a question?
I do. I don't have any children, and I'm kind of reaching that age where I better make a decision fast. Otherwise, things are going to get complicated and expensive. And I was wondering, if you could not afford nannies and night nurses and all that, would you have children?
All right. Well, hang on.
That's
because
a good question.
I'd like to get into this when we come back. We have to take a break. Danny brought his child-rearing notes in with him. And, of course, I just had twins, obviously, at the ripe old age of 42, and I have many thoughts about this. Wow. Wow, flowers? Are you sending my wife flowers? Well, tell her from me. Look, you want to give my wife a gift? Send her flowers and put my name on the thing. We'll take
you'd have to be the CEO for me to go that far.
We'll take a quick break. We'll be back to talk children, childhood, rearing. I have many thoughts on it after this.
And now, Alcoa presents Definitely Not a Jew on the Adam Carolla Show. Dateline, Oak Park, Michigan. A man was rescued after falling asleep inside the compactor of a garbage truck in which he was scavenging for bottles. Definitely not a Jew.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show, 866-901-ADAM. Teresa and Danny by my side now. Our school teacher, who I put on hold, fell off, so if she wants to call back, we can talk to her.
She's probably getting nervous about naming the school she teaches at.
Probably.
Yeah, our students are going to recognize her voice.
Even though she wasn't talking about thinking about stripping or having an affair with the janitor. Just the idea of your children thinking of you, your students, that is, thinking of you as a human being, is risky business when you're a teacher. That's why they should never learn your first name.
Right, that and the fact that you're the kind of human being that says, oh, Adam Carolla, I listen to you every morning, you crack me up. That says something
that's
about
damning
a person.
Right there.
Not damning, but it does make a statement.
I could remember finding out, you know, Mr. Rothberg's first name is Joel. And then it'd be like, hey, Joel. And then everyone would start laughing. Like, everyone else on the planet knows him as Joel, not as Mr. Rothberg. And it's just funny how much kids can, you know, take off with things like that. But we were talking about having children. Should she have children? Should she not? She's not exactly rich. She's getting a little bit older. How about the commitment? What about it? Well, I have a few thoughts about it as a guy who obviously waited until the ripe old age of 42 to have children.
So you did the same thing. Dante's 5 and I'm 47.
Right, so there you go.
Here we go.
I have a couple feelings. One is in life, just your general creed, and I'm sure Danny follows this maybe a little bit too closely, which is if you're scared of something, you should probably do it.
Immediately. First thing I ever do.
Right. Now, maybe not to Danny's point where there's a guy who's 6'8 who used to play guard for the Raiders who's intimidated by us, who's going to go up and punch him at the bar. But in general, if you're scared of public speaking, then do some public speaking.
Right.
Because you can, there's a couple ways you can go through life. You can go through life zigzagging, avoiding the sort of pylons that frighten you, or you can be the fat kid who got picked last in high school and go out and play softball with your company team just to get over that. Otherwise, you'll spend your entire life avoiding it and burn more calories avoiding it than the failure of doing it, and it might not be a failure.
Right.
And when you get stronger at the things you're weak at, then the things you are good at grow tenfold strength. So
that works in other areas of life, too. That's very true.
A good thing to do if you think, wow, this scares me, or wow, I'm trying to avoid it, you may want to take a look at it and go after it.
They say the way to get over your fear of flying is to take flying lessons.
Well, exposure cures almost every fear. If you're scared of spiders, first they put you in a room with a spider, then they put the spider, you know, 10 feet from you, then they put the spider on your hand, and pretty soon you're not afraid of it.
If you're afraid of spiders and you go out of your way to be in a room with spiders, you're just retarded.
Well, that's the way to cure the phobia.
But who cares about your phobia about spiders? Wait till you see one and then go, oh, eek, and run to the next room. Don't go to a clinic.
Well, the point is... take on every story throughout history is about people addressing their fears, and sometimes it's the fear of an opponent or a foe or someone from another army or village or whatever. For me, kids, relationships, that kind of stuff, spent a lot of time avoiding them. When I decided to give in to them, much happier.
Yeah.
Don't feel like I'm looking over my shoulder and running from something all the time. The other thing is in terms of whether you should be a parent or not, or whether you can handle it financially or not, or emotionally or not, if you are asking the question, I'm not sure if I should do this, then you're in.
Really?
I say you're in, because I'm tired
you
of this.
You should be scared.
The 17 and the 18-year-olds, you know, the mullet family we talked to.
14.
Yeah. The point is the welfare mamas who are cranking out their fifth kid with their sixth guy, and there's nobody around, and they're on the dole, or the white trash welfare, whatever. These people don't ask, geez, I wonder if it would be prudent. You know, when you hear about these stories about you're on welfare and you just gave birth to your ninth kid, they don't sit around and think whether it be fiscally responsible to have, or prudent, or emotionally fair to, or whatever. They just crap them out. So if you're actually a human being and you're stopping and saying, I'm not sure if I'm up to the task or up to the challenge of looking over another human being and being responsible, you're in. You're already responsible. The idea that you decide to stop and think about it means by default you are responsible enough to have a child.
Yes, this is good.
The other thing is, and this is the last in my child-rearing trilogy, which is, in life, you are capable of almost nothing, and you're capable of amazing feats, and it's all within you.
Right.
Danny is a guy who's lived out of his car, and as he points out, a nice car, but lived out of his car.
1972 BMW 2002.
And is now...
in a mansion.
Did you get... was it the TI or just...
No.
Still, nice. Bavarian automobile. Point is the same human being is capable of nothing and capable of amazing feats, and it's not a different human being, it's the same human being.
I would never mention this except you've done a little things that break every disc jockey rule in the whole wide world, so I'll do it. I used to live in a very small BMW for years and had nothing. I sold plasma for real. I live in what there's nothing else that you could call it but a mansion. I crawled out, so you're... it needs a lot of repair. It's a mansion and fixer-upper, but it's a fantastic home. And the fact is, you're right. If you mean it, the human body and mind and soul and psyche can really accomplish almost anything. The problem is, people don't believe in themselves. Just go, I'll never be great.
And you will adapt to any challenge. I mean, that's one thing you will do. If the plane goes down and you're stranded on a desert island, you're not going to walk in circles looking for the bidet. You're going to use a leaf on your ass, and next thing you know, you're going to be eating hermit crabs, and you will be doing what you have to do. You would never do it as long as there was a supermarket down the street and you had a gourmet kitchen in your fixer-upper mansion, but you sure as hell will do what you have to do when you have to do it. So
I won't even wait for the first death. I'll just kill and cook the first fat guy.
That's right.
You know, I know it's coming, so let's get it done.
You're saying moms and dads will adapt once they have kids.
I am saying you could adapt to losing your eyesight, losing a limb, losing whatever. When you think about what people do, they go off to war, they step on a landmine, they come home, they're missing a leg, they think they'll never walk again, and 6 months later, they're skiing with their prosthetic limb that's fitting, and they're getting ready for the triathlon, the Ironman in Hawaii. Yes, you can do anything, or you can do nothing. You can get drunk, you can take sleeping pills, you can go into depression, you can do whatever. The point is, you if you're, you know, all but a very small percentage of human beings, you will rise to the challenge of anything. Nobody's prepared to have kids on paper. I mean, nobody can plot it all out in advance. You have kids, you will do it. You'll never not do it. You'll just take care of your kids. And especially if you're smart enough to ask yourself that question in advance, can I or can't I? You can. See, believe me, you will.
I didn't.
You didn't what?
I didn't
ask that question?
But you know why? Because as weird as this sounds, I married the most functional human being ever. Mm-hmm. I knew there'd never be a problem that she'd have it. Right. So I really, when she said, she got mad at me. She called me on my radio show to tell me, hey, I'm pregnant. And I couldn't think of anything to say, but, well, congratulations. And she hung up on me. But I never thought of it for 2 seconds. I go, well, Gretchen has this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I grew into it and became a good and responsible father. But I knew that my other half had this.
Yeah, but part of this, too, is hitching your wagon to somebody that has some skills.
Right.
Part of the reason I married my wife, and you all should think about this, too, is because I did plan on having kids, and I knew she would be a good mother.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of women out there, not a lot, but not the lion's share of the majority, but there's a certain percentage of women out there who will not make good mothers, and you guys who marry those women and decide to crap out kids with those women are abusing those kids. Because a child
Before
needs a
conception.
Mother.
Conception.
Yes.
That's really weird.
You used your penis to abuse your unborn child.
Well, Adam, when did you know that Lynette would make a good mom, and why did you know that?
Well, I knew it just a few years after I met her, and why? Process of elimination. Not good at anything else. All right. We need to take ourselves a break. No, she's I could see the way she treated her nieces and nephews. She loved her nieces and nephews. And to me, my own family didn't treat each other that way. I mean, forget about nieces and nephews. I'm talking about mother, daughter, and son and father. We didn't treat each other. We didn't love each other nearly as much as she loved her nieces and nephews. Right. She loved them to death. And I said, wow, this woman loves children. And sure enough, she does. And I got to tell you, people, when you get married, if you're planning on just globetrotting and effing in every state in the union, then so be it. Marry a crazy broad and go out and have an F fest. But if you're planning on starting a family,
and being a real person,
marry somebody who's up to that. And there are women who aren't. And those women, I believe, are sort of broken in a sort of genetic way. And you show me somebody, and I've heard this before. Ever hear about these stories about, hey, where's the mom? She remarried and she took off and left her kids. I mean, when you talk to someone like my wife, when you tell her when she's in the room with her twins, you may meet a guy you like more than me, and you guys may move to Oregon together. And she looks at those twins, it's mathematically impossible.
Right.
It's not, there's not a fiber in her body that could pick up and leave those two twins. If you think that's a good idea as a mother, you are broken as a female to the point where I don't know if we can ever repair you. You should not have kids. And fellas, suss that out or pull out. Thank you. The more you know. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, shifting gears for just a second here, we got these Playboy Mansion tickets to give away. We've been talking about it. Not apropos of nothing. The Apprentice is a show about working and bosses and tasks and jobs. You call 866-901-ADAM. You tell us about a faux pas at work being busted. I'm sure we all have stories if, in fact, you're ever employed, Danny. We all arrested at work. I took a whiz in the freezer over at McDonald's and have many other tales of working woe to share with you people. But I want to hear your stories. Were you busted? Did you ever have a little get a little action in the bathroom, or maybe it was just a little one-on-one action in the bathroom and somebody popped you? You'd be surprised and sickened if you spoke to most men and figured out that probably 72% of males over the age of 25 have masturbated at one job or another at one time or another.
I've only been here 2 weeks.
Not saying at... Oh, I thought you meant all the males except for you.
Every place I've ever worked.
Oh, but don't worry.
Places I shop if I'm going to be there a couple hours.
The morning is young.
Oh, no.
Where do you think the Beyond is in Bed Bath & Beyond, by the way? All right, we'll take a break. We'll hear your stories, and we'll give away some Playboy Mansion tickets after this.
the Adam Carolla Show. We're having a party at the Playboy Mansion next Thursday night. Guess who's going to be there? Donald Trump.
I don't see us hugging and kissing.
Plus Adam's better half, Jimmy Kimmel. Hugh Hefner will be there with his girlfriends.
I really wasn't sure it was a good idea. But then I figured, what the f***?
Along with the Donald's first apprentice, Bill Rancic, Ivanka Trump, and Donald Trump Jr., Omarosa, and David Alan Greer. And Adam's got your tickets this morning.
Seems to be a very big story. You also have to honor commitments.
All right. Thanks to The Apprentice Los Angeles, Sunday nights at 9 on NBC, Maker's Mark, and Miller Lite. Now we're back to The Adam Carolla Show.
That's right. Coming up next Thursday, 18th. So we want to see you there, but you got to earn your way there with your stories, your work stories. Busted at work. I'm trying to think. I never had, I mean, Danny, you were arrested from a job?
But this actually worked out well for me in the end. I was at one point on probation in three different states. Mm-hmm. I had to move to Philadelphia to do a radio job. Mm-hmm. So I had the three states. But the one state, watch me, so now I had four states and they all wanted urine samples.
Right.
So I had to pee in cups constantly. Mm-hmm. But anyway, so Gretchen and I had nothing when we got married. And all of a sudden I was making $75,000 a year.
Mm-hmm.
And it was Christmas and nobody was doing anything, so we drove from Philadelphia to Rhode Island to see the mansions. It gets really cold in Rhode Island. There's nothing to do there when it's freezing.
Right.
So we stayed in a $19 motel room, I'll never forget, because they're almost free in the winter. Turn on the news, and we see that this kid has been mugged for his wheelchair. So I call the news station. I say, hi, my name's Danny Bonducci. I'll buy this kid a wheelchair. And they recognize my name. Otherwise, they wouldn't give the name. So they say, really, take all my information and stuff. When I get to the kid's house the next day, there's CNN, Entertainment Tonight. I mean, I'm a has-been still. I just got my first job. I don't know why they all cared, but slow news day. But they all cared.
Right.
I get back to Philly after the Christmas break, and I go on the air, and I'm doing my show, and the cops burst in the door. I mean, they didn't need to be this rude. They mm-hmm. really wasn't doing anything.
Right.
Yeah. Smashed my head down against the console, handcuffed me, started screaming at me, dragged me down. And the mics are on, and we're yelling, and I'm being arrested. I bet people thought it was a bit. And I'm dragged out of my station, and just dead air. And I guess a boss finally figured it out and sent somebody in to do something. And what had happened was, they saw CNN or Entertainment Tonight and knew I left the state.
It was
Christmas Eve. There was nobody to call, and I just decided to get in the car.
Right.
So when they saw me buy the kid a wheelchair in Rhode Island, I had violated my probation by crossing state lines.
Wow.
Oh.
Trying to figure out how karma works.
Well,
you're trying to help the kid.
Well, you know what I did? Yes. Here's what I did. When I got downtown, I cried and begged and pleaded, but I knew in my heart they were not going to send a guy that was just on CNN for buying a kid a wheelchair.
Yes.
They weren't going to send me to jail. But I'll tell you, sometimes cops, and they're my best friends, you know, I mean, they've been really kind to me. I'm probably as off drugs because of cops as my wife. You know, I like them, so I'm not mad at any of them. But they really wanted me to beg. That's what they, and they made me. You know, they just, you're going to jail, that's it, and they're banging my head, and they want me to go, please, no, I'm sorry, you can't send me to jail, because I didn't mean, I didn't even think, please. And that's what they wanted. And for a guy like me, that's paying a heavy price.
So you didn't?
No, I did. I begged and pleaded, didn't go to jail, went back to work the next night.
I had a job when I used to clean carpets. We used to, the deal with carpet cleaning, and man, did that job blow humongous size ass
you
cleaning
worked
carpets.
That Z gangster guy, didn't
no,
you?
No, Barry Zinko or whatever his name was,
yeah.
Zito, whatever. Yeah, Minko. Barry Minko?
No.
Yeah, anyway, gets indicted on racketeering and RICO acts or something. No, I was his competition.
Smart move, healthy.
I worked for always better. Oh, jeez. It'll come out in the valley, out in Van Nuys, crappy van. Used to drive around and clean carpets. Now, cleaning carpets sucks. Cleaning people's houses sucks, but we only did restaurants. And you would not believe how horrible the carpet is at a Tony Roma's on that one spot where the kitchen meets the carpet.
Yeah.
Where the doors flap open both ways, and it goes from the tile in the back of the kitchen to the carpet of the restaurant. You imagine how much grease is on there and how hard you have to work it with a wand.
Ooh.
Not a buffer. The buffer thing is a joyride on a Pegasus.
Nicely said.
The wand is back breaking. That is pyramid building crap. I mean, you're just putting your back in. You know, the job sucks, by the way. I this is when it dawned on me the job blew ass when it becomes relative, where I got into an argument with the guy over who was going to drain the solution tank. Meaning, the worst job in the world is working the wand. That's just sweat, steam pouring up. You just back. I mean, you'd sweat right through your shirt in 10 minutes. And the cush job was the guy who opened the solution tank. That's all the grease and all the crap that got sucked up by said wand and put into a separate tank. You open that drainage tank and a sludge of brown stuff with hair and gunk and gum and grease comes into a bucket, and then you schlep the bucket over to the toilet and you dump it into the toilet and then fill it up again with the solution tank. That is the cush job of the carpet cleaning world. So when you're saying to someone, it's my turn to empty the solution tank, that's a bad job.
Yes.
You know, you're killing me a little bit, Carolla. Hmm. You really are. I don't have a single guy friend that I hang with. Not one. I don't. I have maybe one or two girls that I'll go have coffee with, but I don't have any guy friends. And I've been thinking, my wife really wants me to have friends. And my wife really likes you, as I pointed out. She goes, I think he'd be a really good friend for you, and blah, 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 blah. And I'm thinking, she's right. He's smart and stuff. I like him. I'm a guy's guy. But then you say stuff like this, like you listen to the a-hole. And now you're talking about the worst, crappiest job in the world. You talked about it for 10 minutes, and then you went, and this is when I realized it was a bad job. How could it have taken you that long?
Well, it was desperate measures for desperate times. It was $6.50 an hour. We didn't get paid till we got to the job. So you would drive across town in the middle of the night to Pasadena, clean a Pizza Hut.
Right.
Take you an hour and a half, maybe 2 hours, drive back to Van Nuys. You were gone the whole night. You made $12 or $13.
Yes.
It was a horrible, horrible job. The only way we could salvage some dignity was by eating at said restaurant. Now, keep in mind, the manager would throw us the keys because the Tony Roma's closed at 10:30 or 11 o'clock at night. He wasn't going to sit there and babysit us till 4 a.m. while we're cleaning the carpets. He wanted to go to bed. He'd throw us the keys, lock up, throw them in the mail slot. We would promptly fire up the grill and start cooking. That's the only, when you're getting $7 an hour for backbreaking work and the man is ripping you off, you're going to make it back by eating your way back.
When I worked at Sushi on Sunset, I'd eat stuff I didn't even like that much just because it was expensive.
Yeah. It was
because
a matter of pride.
Yes. Right. You're screwing the man by eating the man's food.
We did the Russian Tea Room once, which used to be over in the Beverly Center, some upscale bar and bistro or whatever, and we got into the liquor cabinet, and we got faced, and at some point went from the liquor cabinet into the dessert refrigerator and got into the cannolis and the ladyfingers and the cream puffs. And at a certain point got so loaded we decided we should smuggle out a case of cream puffs in the solution tank of one of the machines by ramming it into the machine, but got so blitzed that we forgot it was in there, and the following day got that probing question from the boss. You know when people know something, but they're not going to tell you, so they're feeling around? How'd it go last night at the Russian Tea Room? Hey, Art. Good. Went good. Oh, really?
Hmm.
Mm-hmm. Did you guys have anything to eat over there? Now you know.
Yeah.
Okay, he knows something. What does he know? But I like when your memory's not so good. I may have had a couple of 20 lady fingers. I don't know. Why? I found a case of cream puffs stuffed into the solution tank of the machine.
I'm just curious about that.
Well, yes.
I would be interested to hear what our callers have to say.
Thank you. Oh.
Not that I'm not interested in what you guys have to say, but
Danny,
we have Playboy tickets to give away.
Every now
Listen,
and again, we should do a radio
I'll
show,
tell you
and
this.
We will with Teresa.
I'll tell you this. I was almost arrested at the workplace, and I will save that story.
Really?
Now, yes,
who
because
else
let's hear
has
from
got
our callers.
Story?
I've never
me.
Told it.
She had me that she lost her. I've got us back on
track. Time has passed.
So what do you call a tease? Let's hear from the callers.
Not having sex in closet.
That's a lot like
fired.
Why I almost got arrested.
Bob?
Yes, sir.
Closet of your work?
Yeah.
Mm. What kind of work?
It was just a crappy office job.
Who were you having sex with?
It was funny. You know, you get bored around the office and you're talking and, you know, sex always comes up somehow. And this girl found out that I like having sex a particular way, and she was curious.
Which way?
Standing up with a coat hanger in his ass.
She liked a little three-hole punch.
I thought he liked something weird.
Let's call it backdoor type.
Throwing in the pail?
Yeah.
Now you can take the romance out of anything.
This is a co-worker?
Oh, yeah.
How did this come up?
I don't know. He just always comes up. I don't know. We're just sitting around talking. I don't know. A bunch of horny young girls in the office. You know, I don't think there was anybody there over 23.
And,
you know,
that kind of sex with her in the closet of the place you're working?
Yeah. It,
what did you use for lube? Toner?
There you go.
Hold on a second. I feel like in the workplace, if someone is making a Starbucks run and they're going to bring me back a small coffee, it's a tallish order. You know what I mean? Like coffee and a sandwich, now it's out of the question.
Right.
Anal sex in the closet? Where's that rank on these sort of favors list? You know what I mean?
It depends on who's getting the favor. My wife's best friend, and she won't be surprised to know this. My wife's best friend told me within 10 minutes of knowing her that she liked that kind of sex better than regular sex. Huh. I didn't even know her, and she's a friend of my Christian wife. And that was one of the first words out of her mouth. Oh, I like it that way much better than the other way.
Well, I don't judge, but did this guy get busted by his boss or anything?
Oh, yeah.
Wait a second. Had you ever had any physical contact with this coworker before this exchange?
No.
Wow, open strong.
And you know what? She played like she was curious about it, but after being there, I think I could tell that she preferred it more than I think. She heard that I like doing it, and then I think she preferred it. And was just,
did you use a condom or a manila envelope?
Those little rubber puffy ones you envelope. Put over the end of your fingers. Yeah.
I'm telling you right now, if you haven't used a baggie, you haven't wanted it bad enough.
My mind is spinning
like a dreidel. Is this a true story, Adam, or not?
This is a true story.
I'll tell you why this is true. Danny knows from doing a lot of radio, which is it's absurd. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's absurd. And that's how you know it's true. It's too tall an order.
Right.
If you're making this story up, you're saying you've gone too far. No one's going to believe this.
Plus, most people can't act. That guy sounds like a guy on the phone instead of a guy telling a really practice story.
So, Bob, where are the other lady co-workers in the office, and what type of business is it?
I don't know. I mean, it was office supplies.
Fudge
and stuff
packing
like that.
Factory.
That day.
Nice.
Well, we were in our own office supply cabinet, you know, where they keep the pencils and all that crap, you know, like the toners and all that for the copy machine. And it's at the end of the hallway.
Yeah.
And the crappy part is that the guy that caught us is somebody that she'd been seeing. Right, and
she's one of those girls to actually see more than one person.
How molested does this woman have to be?
I think her stepdad was actually molesting her while he was raping her anally.
She must have been ritually abused and sexually molested by at least three uncles and a cousin.
I know some skanky-ass
girls. Other people's stepdads.
I know some skanky-ass girls that have not been molested by anybody, or at least they claim to, and I believe them the way they say it.
But giving up the third input at the workplace with a guy you've never so much as held hands with?
While your boyfriend is in the next room?
Oh, yeah, he walks in, and he just says, "What the F," right? And turns around and walks out.
He screamed, "Not again."
Let me say, we'll assume I'm not married, okay? So we're assuming I'm not married. Remember that porn star we had in here?
Yeah, Jessica Drake.
So this got a curtain right here in this booth right next to us so you can't see me. And you said, you know what would be good for the show, Danny, if you just go have sex with her right now?
You would?
Totally. Right now, and I'd be back in the room and I'd describe the action within 3 minutes.
Let's get her
back. Did Bob get fired?
Oh, yeah, we both got fired.
That doesn't seem fair. Did they make you leave through the back door? Thank you, I'll be here all week.
And wait a minute. So this guy ratted you out to his boss.
Yeah. Yeah, but we finished. He turned around. He like I said, he said, "What the F?" He just, you know, like kind of bummed out, you know, and was pissed and walked
out. All right. Hang on, Bob. You're definitely front runner.
Yeah, and a back runner.
Yes.
He's bringing up the rear.
All right, fired for calling coworker name. Mom found weed, came to my work.
Ooh.
Sounds
good. I like
good.
That.
Embarrassing.
Love shame.
Sounds very good. We're running a little late.
Yeah,
Maybe we'll just tease Keith.
Yeah.
Keith?
Hey, how's it going, Adam?
Good. You got busted at work because your mom busted you at home?
Man, you're a construction worker. You'll love this story. I go to work. I'm at work, And I hear screaming, and I'm like, that sounds like my mom. She's walking the job site, kids, yelling my name.
Mm-hmm.
Finally, she gets to me, and she has a bag of weed in her hand. And this is all my coworkers around. I was doing plumbing at the time.
Mm.
And she is just flipping out.
Right.
You come down here, get to the car. I would have rather it been the cops.
Yeah, but you were on a construction site.
Yeah, a big one. It was a 36-story building.
Yeah, but every single guy on that construction site was a drug addict, a pedophile, racist.
But your mom wasn't there.
Well, that is the ultimate crap you can take on a construction site.
Imagine getting beat up at school and your mom goes down and smacks the kid around. You're a loser.
Yeah, mom's showing up.
Yeah,
with,
mom's showing up. It all is bad.
And my mom with is bail. Like, she's still in her robe.
Oh, no.
Awesome.
Curlers?
Curlers and slippers, because there's bonus points for that.
This may be a sucky tease, but...
curlers.
Well, we got folks fired at work for doing coke, having sex, stealing steaks, masturbating at work.
Oh,
I think we need
to
push news off just one more
quick
segment.
Very nice call.
We'll take a quick break. We have those Playboy tickets to give away. We'll talk to you on more workplace disasters.
I'll be in the supply closet with sound guy Brian.
Thanks.
You're married.
So is she here?
We'll be right back after this.
Welcome back to the Adam Carolla Show. It's time to play Guess the Movie Quote with our Nicaraguan movie reviewer, Oswaldo Castillo. Can you guess which movie this famous line is from?
I am your Huckleberry.
If you said Tombstone...
I'm your Huckleberry.
You're correct. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Ozzy is all Ozzy does is mule high-calorie food into my house. That's all he does.
When you say mule, that means carry it over the border secretly in your home?
There is a bucket of flan in my refrigerator. Do you know what it's like? It's one thing to announce that you're trying to shed a couple pounds you packed on from the holidays and stay out of harm's way. You don't go down to the Cheesecake Factory and sit there and stare at a cheesecake. So I make that proclamation. I'm going to watch it with the sweets and the desserts and the whatever. Ozzy, somehow, when I make that proclamation, will go out and buy a bucket of flan and bring it to my house. And there it sits in my refrigerator in a clear thing so that every single time I open the door, I just stare at it. Now I have a choice.
See, for me, it would be like opening the refrigerator and there's a chick.
Yes.
Yeah, you're just like,
that's
honey,
your
you shouldn't
bucket
have done
of flan.
That.
Flan is the greatest thing to come out of Mexico.
Oh my God,
it's your greatest achievement.
Juan Valdez and flan.
You've essentially stole our pudding and put honey on it, but either way, I forgive you. This and tequila are your two greatest achievements.
I dedicated my book to Jose Cuervo. And then I put sponsors and not friends.
I now can either throw out the food, which I can't do because I grew up in a situation where there wasn't much food and it goes against my grain, or I can just get the DTs staring at the big thing of flan every day because Ozzy brings it in. Ozzy won't eat it, my wife won't eat it, and I just stare at a bucket of goddamn flan. Ozzy, please, if you can hear me, stop muling food up to my house.
Well, if this will help
and
you.
There's no such thing as a Latin guy that understands calories. I mean, those guys sit around my house for lunch, and there's a pig on a spit as they drink horchata.
Oh.
I mean, it's ridiculous.
My favorite things.
Those goddamn people. Every meal is a big dinner for Ozzy and company.
And then you nap.
But Ozzy's a good employee to you.
Look, he's a good employee. I've not fired him, although I should. I've not fired Ozzy, but we want to talk to you. That's right. Thank you. Thank you. We have tickets for the Playboy Mansion. The front runner is...
Are you sure you don't want to just sit here and you and I and Teresa will be fascinating somewhere?
I know. I'm all over the road today.
All
right.
Signed the Playboy Mansion to give away.
Signed dead people for accounts. I like that one. Mike?
Yeah.
What's your story? What'd you get fired for?
I don't know if I can beat the anal sex in the closet guy, but I worked at a bank, and, you know, you get bonuses on how your numbers are, and it was a little pretty slow. And I got the genius idea to sign up dead people for checking accounts.
Now, you knew they were dead.
Oh, yeah.
How did you know they were dead?
He killed them.
Yeah, exactly. So I just searched through the database. Some of them were very old clients that we had.
Mm-hmm.
My birthday.
Now, you were caught and fired?
Yeah. Well, my boss and I sort of didn't get along, and they were looking for a reason to fire me, and they really didn't have to.
All right, Mike. I say it's ghoulish, but not a. It doesn't have the panache sex in the closet.
You
one
said 70.
It doesn't. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Doesn't have a certain je ne sais quoi.
Yes, again, you're going to go even further than panache. There's a je ne sais quoi about in the closet in the keister.
Adam has said that 72% of men have masturbated at work, which is a surprise to me, and
it looks like one of our callers
was fired for that, Vic.
Yes, I rounded down.
Yeah, I'm only surprised it was 72.
It was one of these things where I don't know a male who hasn't, but yeah. I'm assuming there's some that have.
I'm sure that, you know, there are people, I say every man in the whole world would cheat on his wife under the exact right circumstance, and then some guy will go up, he's been married 47 years, would never, there's an exception to every rule.
But
yeah,
a rule.
72% is low. I don't know anybody that hasn't masturbated.
Well, can we talk to this gentleman?
I would say 65% of men have done it in multiple jobs.
Really?
I've never had a job.
Serial whacker.
Like, just to take the edge off?
When I gotta go, I gotta go.
Vic, and that time is now, by the way, T, watch out. Vic?
Yeah?
What happened at work?
Well, I used to work at American Express, ironically, just down the hall from Jimmy Kimmel Sr.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Jimmy's father works over at American Express, right?
Yeah, he was the director there.
Now, if he helped you in any way, please don't tell me about that, because I look at him as a father figure. Yes.
No.
Mm-hmm.
This story didn't involve him.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, there was this chick at work. It was about 4'10", 100 pounds. She was a spinner.
Mm-hmm.
And she would never give me the time of day, so, you know, I still really liked her. So I went into the bathroom, and I was, flogging the bishop. I was always pretty careful about it, but there was this...
Teresa, well, let me just butt in and clue you in on something else you may not know about. There may be guys that you're not attracted to who you work with who you would not in any circumstances ever have sex with. They're still having sex with you.
You just read my mind.
You're just
I wonder, has
there.
This ever happened to me?
Multiple times.
Almost every time. And 72% of the time.
It's the Adam Carolla Show.
And what you do. Never mind what you do.
This has happened to you multiple.
I can't believe it, really?
Multiple times. Oh, yes.
Oh, first I hear about the Spank Bank, and now this. 2007 has been a great year.
That's right. Vic?
Yeah.
Now, did you get busted?
Well, basically, the department suck-up, the assistant supervisor, was having me in the stall with me. I've been doing this for about 2 weeks, and he just happened to be in the stall next to me. Well, when I was done this last time...
Well, now, hold on. You didn't see the feet on the floor next to you with the door closed?
You know when you're going, you don't think about other people.
Oh, no. First thing I do...
Baloney.
That's why
I knew Michael Jackson was innocent.
How?
Because nobody wants to get caught masturbating. You hide so nobody walks in on you.
George Michael.
I mean Michael Jackson.
He was caught masturbating?
No, he was accused of molesting children, and I have been masturbating my entire life and never been caught.
This guy got accused of being
a pedophile, and everybody saw him. He had 27 witnesses. You don't think he'd close the curtains?
I am cautious about what I do in the men's room that I actually walk in with one of those extendo mirrors. You know when you drive a truck onto a military base and they got to make sure there's not a bomb underneath it? I'll do that with every stall. I'll go walk down every stall, make sure, and then once I hear the all clear, then I get busy.
There we go.
Let me tell you something, Vic. You got cocky, you got sloppy, and you got busted.
Is that what happened?
Yeah. But what does that get him?
And what does the guy do? Does the guy then rat you out? Because I feel like if I caught a coworker in that position, I would be more embarrassed than he was.
He didn't know about it until...
Oh, no.
Thank you for that little light. I appreciate that.
I think I'm through with Vic.
You know, can I tell you one problem?
I'm also through ever having sex.
Can I do something for Teresa real quick? Because she probably doesn't know this. He said flogging the bishop.
Yes.
That's wrong. There are certain names. You don't flog the bishop. You beat the bishop. You choke the pope. You thump the monkey. There's certain names, and flogging the bishop is not one of them.
Yes. He made a mockery of something
really
that's beloved to Dan.
Exactly.
Yes. All of this almost too exciting
to
bear.
Can we hear about the this guy who was busted in the Army?
I'll tell you what. I'm going to talk to Johnny, who got popped for cocaine because Jack Silver called about 20 minutes ago and told us to tone down the sex talk.
Oh, then you won't be hearing my almost fired story.
Oh, really? Well,
oh boy!
I think rules were made to be broken.
I bet Mr. Silver doesn't want me to tell how I got the job then.
Look, I'll tell you this. I'll tell you this much, Jack, if you're listening. We're going to do a quick coke call to sort of cleanse our sexual palate and then right into T's sex story.
It's a sweet sex story.
Johnny?
Yeah, you can tell him anyway.
Hey, what's going on, you guys?
What's happening? You got popped for doing blow?
Yeah, I was working overnights at a radio station here in Phoenix, and
guys in radio do drugs?
Cocaine? Imagine.
Yeah, go figure, right?
Mm-hmm.
And been doing it for a few weeks and got a little comfortable. Decided to have the old lady come on down, do a little party, and she brought a little blow with her, some whiskey. And during one of the commercial breaks, she decided to give me a little servicing. And as I'm standing there at the board, who decided to walk in the door but the owner of the station. Not my boss, who would have been pretty cool with it and I would have got yelled at, but the owner of the station comes in and there's a pile of blow on a CD case, an open bottle of Jack. She's on her knees. So, yeah, that was the end of my radio.
Now, are we talking about the 80s or are we talking about last week?
We're talking about 3 years ago.
Wow. Yeah. That's surprising because, to be honest with you, take some of the fun out of this. I have not, well, maybe because people know I don't do them, but I have not seen drugs anywhere in 10 years, in any place of business or anything like that.
I feel like...
What do you mean no fun anymore, Dick? What do you think you're listening to?
I feel...
All right.
Come to your house.
All right, thanks, Johnny. I do... You know, I feel like coke has made a quiet... It's having a quiet renaissance.
Yeah, it is.
Whereas
yes.
It was fashionable for people to offer people coke out in the open
and
parties
and
whatever.
And stuff.
Now people are still doing blow. I guess it's made a comeback,
yes.
But they're
cheaper.
They're scurrying off to the bathroom.
It's also executive. They've got, as I understand, it. They've got like a little cool like snifter box or whatever, snuff boxes.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like decent people that are, there are people that can do drugs, just like there
yes.
are people who can drink. And it seems to have made a quiet comeback with them.
I feel,
I'm not one of those
I've
people.
Made this announcement many times, when coke was fashionable in the early 80s and cost $120
a gram,
I was making $9 an hour. So imagine what a gram of coke was, and having taxes taken out, by the way. For me, 1 gram of coke equaled 2 days crawling under someone's house trying to dig footings with a coffee can. It was tough. Now, I make a ton of money, and coke is cheaper than hell. It's never been a better time for the Ace Man to get into the blow, is what I'm saying.
Well, I've never even seen cocaine. I'm a goody-goody. Never even
You've never seen it?
Well,
should I bring some to work? Just
please.
So you can see it? I'm not kidding. I can get anywhere.
We'll give you a bump and maybe a freeze.
Do you want me to bring some to work so you can see what it looks like?
I imagine
I can get it in 5 minutes.
I'm a goody-goody, which is... Should I tell the story and make it brief?
Yes. Yes. Tell us about your sexual
I've
encounter.
I've never told anybody this because it's very shameful and makes me sound slutty. But it really... It had only been my third sexual partner this happened with.
Mm-hmm.
I was working my way through school as a reporter at a small newspaper in San Francisco. And that's important because the building it was in was only 3 stories, and it was downtown San Francisco, which is filled with very tall buildings. And it was spring break, so I came back to earn some extra money. I just worked the week, and I would write obituaries and stuff like that. And I'd been dating another reporter at this newspaper. It was St. Patrick's Day, and so we went on the roof of the building to have lunch, and I said, he said, oh, you're not wearing anything green. And I said, yes, I am, and I had on a green bra. I said, here's my green bra and green pants.
Now it's just open roof.
Open roof. There's a riser about 4 feet on there. I don't, you know, roofs sometimes have those.
Called a parapet, baby.
Oh, thank you. A parapet.
And the holes in them to drain the water are called scuppers.
Thank you. So we're sitting on the parapet eating lunch. I show him the green bra.
Oh, boy.
Then next thing you know, and again, this is my boyfriend and only my third sexual partner. I was not a slut. And then, so things happen, and as things are wrapping up, I hear like radio sounds. I hear boots and radio
now,
noises.
Now, hold on a second. You guys decide to have actual sex
yes.
just up there on the roof.
I'm in a skirt, like a pleated skirt,
mm-hmm.
which I can easily pull up.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't
know. There's no one else.
There's no one else around there.
No, and you know, you're just not thinking about it. And I was young.
Yes. Why not listen? No one is
judging you, whore.
I was like maybe. I was maybe 21 at the time, and so I hear this radio sound, and I thought, God, that almost sounds like something you'd hear on Cops. I look over, and there are two policemen. I'm shaking just thinking about it.
You are shaking. I noticed.
I'm literally shaking. I've never told the story. There are two huge cops, and there's a man on top of me, and I've got a skirt up. And I'm at work as a reporter.
Oh, I'm at work.
And I need the job. I mean, I'm working my way through school, and this is my job.
And some of school is working its way through you.
Yeah, and so the cops come up, and they're two of them big, and their radios are loud. And, you know, I said, can you please give me a minute? And I, you know, pull down my skirt and stuff. And they say, are you aware that having sex in public is a crime and that we've received many calls? And my eyes start welling up, and they go, take a look. I look at the building to my right. It's about a 30-story building. And gathered on every floor are dozens of people applauding and giving, like, pumping their fists in the air.
And
they've been watching the entire thing.
And I agree with every one of those people that had their nose pressed up against the window.
I wouldn't have stopped if it weren't for the cops. I'd have waved back and said, watch this move.
Well, now I think I'm about to get arrested at my job.
Yes. And?
Well, I cry, which is something cops respond to.
Right.
And no, I know it's shocking. And I'm like, please, please, I will never do this again. I am so sorry. I work here. I'm a reporter. I'm really young. I made a mistake. Please, please, please give me this one warning. I'll never do anything like this again. Mm-hmm. And they said, okay. I went back to work. But here's the thing. I carpooled to work with my mom because I didn't have a car. She also worked downtown. And so many buildings around had seen this that on the way, my mom and I walking to our car on the way home, a car pulls up and starts honking and waving at me. And my mom goes, do you know them? What? I don't.
T's like, that's my 5 o'clock. I got to get to the fire escape. Well, okay. T, let me say this. I love that story, number one. Number two, I could do what I feel like is 3 hours of nonstop talking about the person that decided it would be a great idea to call the cops. I understand the people that run to the side of the building. Who is that person that goes for the phone and says, I must call the cops?
Right.
And I do feel like there's one of those people in every crowd that no matter what is going on, that no matter how someone is expressing themselves and who isn't being hurt by either the stereo being played too loud or the amorous young couple having a little outdoor love on the roof, much to the enjoyment of all the surrounding buildings, but there's always that one shrew, that one kiss ass, that one a-hole that says, I got to get on the blower and get the fuzz involved with this. Who is that person? And couldn't we create some sort of society? Here's my utopia. Utopia.
Sit down.
I know we're running late for break, but it's gonna take 2 minutes. Here's what I would love. I would love when Fidel Castro is just about into the ground.
Yes.
Any second.
This old F is about dead. The next 3 weeks to 6 months, when this old F goes into the ground, we then throw everyone off of Cuba and we start collecting people, the undesirables. It becomes the Devil's Island, much like Pepillon spent time on in French Guiana somewhere around the 20s or 30s. We go and get the guy who called the cops. But not only busted you, but ruined a good time for the 300 guys who had their noses pressed up, and noses weren't the only thing that were pressed up against the glass over there. We'll get all the neighbors I've ever had that thought it would be a great idea to call the fuzz on my New Year's Eve party. By the way, cops showing up at 9:45 on a New Year's Eve party, which meant to call one in at 8:45 that evening. You picked up the phone at 9 o'clock on New Year's Eve and called a party, called the cops, a bunch of white people that are dancing to Cool in the Gang wearing tuxedos, for the love of Christ. All of you idiots, all of you people out there that thought it was a great idea to use the cops as your own personal security force, drop a dime on bust neighbors, whatever, you people that rat people out, you people that call building and safety when the guy's trying to turn his garage into a recording studio, you people where there's nothing in it for you except for you get the satisfaction of calling. Yes, you people, I want you all removed from our society. You go over to Cuba, do a jig on Fidel's grave and try to put that crumbling infrastructure back together. We'll be here celebrating your departure.
Yes.
We'll be turning our stereos up. We'll be building bootleg recording studios. He will be on the roof of my bootleg recording studio while Danny and his wife's band are in there jamming at decibels unknown.
In our building that doesn't have a permit.
That's right, with complete impunity, because there's no puss around to call the fuzz. All right. Now, T, what's coming up in the news?
It's the only thing that mellows me out is this song, Danny.
Are you better?
Yes.
Tattletales and narcs, they really are the lowest.
Oh,
dude. Don't I know.
Well, coming up in the news, Beckham, Bonds, and Blowhards.
All right. We will do that next on the Adam Carolla Show.
Don't go anywhere, because there's a lot more coming up. It's the Adam Carolla Show with Teresa Strasser and Danny Bonaducci.
Ooh, Carolla.
The Adam Carolla Show. The Adam Carolla Show, your news leader. Live, local, late-breaking. Teresa Strasser with the news that matters.
Suzanne Summers, cry me a river, all your thigh masters burned.
Teresa Strasser, the number one Jewish news reporter on this station right now. The Adam Carolla Show.
We're going to do the news. I'm just giving you fans a heads up who've been calling for Huell Hauser. I'll explain who that is to those of you who don't know who that is. We are going to delve deep into Huell Hauser, and we have many clips to make our points for. So that's coming up. We should all look forward to that.
Yes, you need to hear that.
But first, the news with Teresa Strasser.
Well, the U.S. Embassy in Athens came under fire early this morning from a rocket that exploded inside of the building. No casualties in the attack, but police are suspecting that it is the work of Greek leftist rebels there.
The rocket went off in the bathroom, went through the window, into the bathroom, and blew up.
That's right. But no casualties, which is nice.
Yeah, what do they want? I remember when the Olympics were coming around, there was a lot of talk about them. But yeah. I'm so fixated on Al-Qaeda and bath parties and everything that's going on in the Middle East. We forget about all the other terrorist organizations
out
there.
They have a revolutionary struggle in Greece.
They better get Greece, a publicist.
Yeah, but Greece kind of rocks. You go, it's a handful of nuts. It's not like a whole, you know, uniform
idea. They're not going to fly any planes in any buildings on our soil.
To the Parthenon right now and hang out and have a wonderful time.
Well, Danny, done.
You said uniform. David Beckham's uniform will be changing to that of the Los Angeles Galaxy. He is leaving his current team, Real Madrid, to play right here in Los Angeles for Major League Soccer. And the word is, according to British news reports, it's not confirmed, but unofficially, he has signed a 5-year contract worth $250 million.
$250?
Yep. I said on NBC this morning, too.
How does it work? Because I understand how it works in the WNBA. Everyone gets $80,000 when everyone in the NBA gets $20 million, because that's what it'll support. That's the economics of it. I don't know that many people that like soccer out here in these United States. Where's all the money coming?
Well, it includes endorsements, they're saying. And here's another thing. Phone screener Kyle told me this morning that since Beckham signed on, the Galaxy has sold more than 1,000 additional season tickets.
Right. So they're now going to have 1,200 people for season opener. Who cares about soccer, everybody?
Mexicans. And we have plenty of them here.
Decent point.
Well, Barry Bonds, another athlete in the news, you've probably heard that he failed an amphetamines test last season. That was reported in the New York Daily News. When he was informed that he failed the test, he allegedly claimed that it must have been because he had taken something from the locker of teammate Mark Sweeney. So Sweeney denied that he was the source of any amphetamines that Barry may or may not have taken. And then Barry Bonds had to apologize. He said in a statement, quote, Sweeney is both my teammate and my friend. He did not give me anything whatsoever and has nothing to do with this matter. I want to apologize. I want to express my deepest apologies, especially to Mark and his family.
He should just fake his death. And
Bonds.
He should just take all the money he's been saving over the last 20 years, pissing people off who he works with, and just get out.
I know, because like I said, sometimes they translate from sports to history, and I know a little.
Right.
Is he great? Yes. Is he like the greatest?
He's a great hitter. He's an absolutely great hitter, even though he was allegedly on steroids for much of the time.
Yeah, every teammate he has hates him, which is one of those things where your teammates are your family, and if they all hate you, then you're a bad
Mays
parent.
But Willie Mays likes him. He can't be that bad.
Well, it's his godfather.
I know.
His dad was friends with Willie Mays and blah, blah, blah. But he's due to break one of the greatest records in sports probably this year, maybe next year. I don't know if he's 2018 home runs away from
Babe Ruth's
record. Or not from Babe Ruth's record, from Hank Aaron's record. And he's going to do it, and it's going to be under a shroud of steroid abuse and everything. And it's just... He's also one of these guys, sort of like Rosie. Every time he opens his mouth, he just gets in a little bit deeper.
Yes, I'm glad you mentioned Rosie, because the Rosie-Trump feud has not ended.
I'm talking about the great NFL tackle for the Los Angeles Rams, Rosie Greer.
And a fine knitter.
Yes. That's right.
Remember when he used to knit and do needlepoint?
That's right. Who is a good 70 pounds lighter than Rosie O'Donnell, please.
Okay. And funnier.
That's
this battle royale continues.
Mm-hmm.
Donald Trump had a little something to say, shocking, on the Today Show. Let's take a listen.
Rosie lies. The Apprentice ratings were fantastic. It was the most successful show in the last 14 months in that time slot. And Rosie made the statement, oh, the show bombed, it bumped. Rosie is a very sad figure. And watch what happens. After I'm finished with this, and The View goes back to being The View, those ratings will tank.
And The View goes back to being The View.
He means that what's making The View interesting is the feud.
Uh-huh.
He's right.
Well,
right.
Rosie O'Donnell is making The View interesting.
Not for
you
long. She didn't fit in. I don't think it's going to work out for her. I'm with Donald on that one. And by the way, I am almost never scared of anything. But if Donald Trump said, it is going to be my mission in life to destroy you, I'd be afraid. I go, he's got the wherewithal, and I think he's mean enough to dedicate real time to hurting you.
Yeah, but it would be flattering in a ass-backwards kind of way.
That's
my
kind of guy.
Well, as a man, would you get into this kind of war of words with a woman?
That's an interesting point.
No, but I would with Rosie.
I think the point is if it were...
Thank you.
I am gay.
If it were some heterosexual pixie, you would never do it, and society would turn on you.
Right.
How dare you kick that little flower around. Right. But Rosie has 30 pounds on him, and has probably been with more women than he's been with, too.
Right.
Thus, open... Fair game.
She's also cruel and mean.
Right. You can get into it. Look, if you can, you know, the late, great Marge Schott, speaking of sports, used to own the racist.
She's
owned
a racist,
the
right?
You could call her anything she wanted because her dog was taking a crap on the pitcher's mound and she was chain smoking and making fun of the Jews. She's open game. You get into it with Jennifer Aniston, you got a publicity problem.
Yeah, right. You get into it with America's Sweetheart.
Well, I'll tell you this. I cannot wait for next Thursday when you, Adam, and you, Danny, are going to be talking to Donald Trump himself when we're at the Playboy Mansion. Because he's going to be a guest, and I'm very interested to hear what he has to say and if he's even willing to discuss
it. Well, here's what I'll tell him right off the bat. For $1 million, I will walk onto the set of The View and punch her in the face as hard as I can.
Really?
For $1 million, yeah.
I'll chip 200 in toward that.
Just, I mean, serious bitch. Just I'll walk straight in, so I'll just go, boom! Lay her out for $1 million.
All I know is celebrity feuds are good for business, so let's get one started.
Yes.
When she wakes up, I'll cash that check.
By the way, Madonna has weighed in. Whose side do you think she's on? Let's take a listen to Madonna from the Today Show.
She's a stand-up comic. I think all stand-up comics talk about provocative things in their monologues before shows, and I think that's a commonplace thing. I don't know exactly the content of what she said, but I have a feeling that if every stand-up comic was penalized for saying politically incorrect things or provocative things, I think they'd all be hung in the public square. So if people are giving Rosie a hard time, I wish they'd stop.
I think she's absolutely right, except for one thing. Stop the English accent.
Well, wait a minute. What part of England is Michigan in?
Yeah.
How does it work?
Is it Manchester? I don't know.
Hounslow, I believe.
I don't mind. She enunciates.
But she is right about it. I hate that. You know what? If it says comedy at the door and you meant it to be a joke and it just failed, you shouldn't get up in arms. It was just your attempt at humor and you didn't make it that time.
Trump is being insecure, but to be accurate, Rosie started it. And it was a joke, but there are jokes, and then there are jokes. And she was not kidding. She was calling him a blowhard.
One not joke. $1 million, I knock her ass out on The View.
You would punch Rosie O'Donnell.
Right in the face.
And listen.
Could you knock her out, though?
Oh, yeah.
Trump, yeah. Trump
it's a
will
thick
have.
Neck, and they're hard to knock out because their neck doesn't. That's what knocks out. It's the twist.
Trump probably has that in the ashtray of the town car that took him up to the Playboy Mansion.
I mean, how much could it hurt? America would forgive me within about 3 years and $1 million cash money tax-free, because that's what's got to be.
I'm taking a step further. We would be disappointed if Bonaducci didn't do something like that.
$1 million.
It's like when Snoop goes to the airport and doesn't get busted for having a gun or weed on him.
Right.
We're a little disappointed.
Well, I'll be interested to hear what you guys think of this story. A 29-year-old man was marrying his 27-year-old bride, and they were in the process of the name change, you know, that happens, you know, when you get married.
Right.
They went to the courthouse, and he wanted to take her name. And the courthouse said, well, you're going to need to pay $320 for a court to make that happen.
He
and
wanted to take her
the
name.
Same. Yes.
By the way, standard fare in a lot of countries.
This is us getting married and me becoming Adam Strasser.
Adam Strasser, right. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And so
Strasser meaning he who takes it on the roof.
Yes, right. That is actually the Hungarian translation of my last name. Thank you.
He who takes it in the basement.
How am I going to get my news credibility back when you bring that up?
All right.
They don't do it to Paula Zahn. Okay.
Actually, I have.
Oh, no. I hope it wasn't on the roof. Okay. So they said you're going to have to pay this $320, and also you're going to have to post a notice about the name change for 4 weeks in a newspaper, which they don't make women do if women take on the husband's name. Mm-hmm. So what did the guy do? He filed a lawsuit against the state of California for discrimination, and the ACLU also lobbied the California state legislature to help the couple out, and they're proposing a bill to change marriage licenses, allowing either person to change their name. Now, why did the groom want to do this?
Well, I can tell you. You tell me first, and then I'll tell you what the real reason
was. Okay. His stated reason is that his wife's last name was important to him because her dad was the only real father figure he ever had.
Well, thank you. He hates his dad. Look, whenever anything goes on where you're like, why the hell would he do that? It is an F you to pops. When you decide not to take the family name and pass it along, there's a lot of stuff that is done in society. A lot of, hey, I'm just being open-minded. There's a lot of, I thought they deserved to know the truth, so I went ahead and told them this. Most things that are done that seem sort of innocuous or seem not attached to something else are an F you to your parents in one way, shape, or form or another.
Would you have been upset if your wife did not take the Corolla name?
Yeah.
What about you, Danny?
No, in advance, but now if she left me, I'd want Bonaducci back.
No, Teresa was talking about Corolla.
Oh, no, if she took the name Corolla, I'm cool with that. That's kind of a cool name.
Speaking of Corolla,
I don't like her first name.
I don't like it, and it's one of the few things that's in it. Like, as far as marriage goes, for guys, there's not a whole lot in the pro department. There's many, many, many cons. I have a laundry list of cons, and then the pro department,
Am I on the laundry list of cons?
There's a couple things. No, what I mean is women want to get married. They're monogamous by nature. They're nesters by nature. They want children by nature. There's many reasons. Maybe they want to be taken care of. There's many reasons why women want to get married. Men have a much shorter list. At the top is we're tired of arguing about not getting married. Thus, we get married. The part where they don't take your name is not going to help in their case to get married.
So that feels good to you when your wife took your name.
I would have just used it as an excuse not to get married.
Dude, I was so drunk. She could have taken the name Steve. I don't even remember being there.
I would have insisted on it. I don't like what it. I don't, it's a weird message. And then your kids are grown up with that hyphenated crap.
I don't even know my brother's name anymore. My brother Anthony. Because it's something weird, and it's not worth a call. So if you're Latin American, don't bother to explain it to me. But it's something to the effect of you take her name and her father's name, and you put your name in there somewhere.
Like Mayor Villaraigosa.
My brother Anthony Bonaducci is not named Anthony Bonaducci anymore. He's got some Aztec name thrown in there somewhere.
Look, it's a pain in the ass for everyone in society, and it's a thumb in the butt of your dad. Just take the stupid name or don't get married.
I'd do that. That's funny.
Well, the name Adam Carolla will be on the marquee of Last Call with Carson Daly, which is airing tonight. You can see Adam on there. Just a quick programming note. Don't miss him tonight at 1:35 a.m. on NBC. I'm Teresa Strasser, and that's the news.
Teresa Strasser with the real news.
Nice job.
Thank you, CNN.
Now, Huell Hauser, somebody I used to speak about on Loveline when I used to do that radio show.
Why?
He's somebody I felt, because I grew up in Southern California watching this guy, and I like bad TV better than I like good TV. Here's the TV I like. I like great TV, and I like bad TV. I don't like good TV.
I get you.
So if it's The Sopranos, I'm in, and if it's Small Wonder, I'm in. I don't hang around in between. So Huell Howser, well, I'm not going to say which category he falls into, but you could probably
now, before we go any further, I've got to apologize to everybody.
This is Huell hosts something called California Gold. He's been on TV here in Southern California for at least 20 to 25 years. Everyone who grew up out here grew up watching this guy. He works for PBS, I believe. He does not have competition, and
ratings,
he is paid by the taxpayers, not
donation
by the network. And that is essentially communism. It's entertainment communism, which is,
wow, I hadn't thought of it that way,
which is you are going to have a job no matter what you produce. Now, if you want to go out in the real world of television or radio, it's cutthroat, as you may have learned over the Christmas break. You have to produce numbers, otherwise you're gone.
Right.
Has nothing to do with how much we like you or how little we like you. You will be gone if you do not produce.
Right.
And when you go out in the real world, you have real competition. But
how's that Breaking Bonaducci 3 looking to you? Jobs go away.
In the pampered world of public television, you have no competition, thus you never have to bring your A game. Let's just listen to a snippet of the scintillating Huell Howser.
Come on over here and talk with us. Do you live around here too? Now, how do we get to the Buffalo Ranch?
The Buffalo Ranch, I think, is long gone. It was over there, but they moved up north.
Well, wait a minute. It says here it's on the tour here.
This is something.
Let that in.
I stumbled. Oh, I don't know what hits the editing room floor. Probably just the editor's feet. Because I don't know if there's anything that's actually cut out of these things. Huell takes his cameraman and he wanders around California going to
Louis.
Going to the old missions. And the stuff usually goes something like this. He'll go to a place that has been producing Menudo in the San Fernando Valley for 87 years and have a interview with the guy out by the loading dock that usually goes a little something like this. Brian, you play the guy who's been running the Menudo. Your family has been producing Menudo in the San Fernando Valley for 87 years.
That's right, but
87 years.
Yeah.
That is a long time.
Yeah, it is.
It's a long time to produce Menudo.
Well, we love Menudo.
We're standing at the loading dock. What goes on here at the loading dock?
Mostly loading.
So you load the Menudo here?
Here at the dock.
Louis, get a shot of the pallet jack. Are you seeing this? What do you use that pallet jack for?
Again, loading.
At the loading dock.
99% at the loading
87 years.
Most of it loading.
It's a lot of Menudo.
Why do you always fire them at the age of 16?
This is why socialism failed.
Yes. Yes, because you end up with Huell Howser. And Huell is on prime time all the time. I mean, he's not on at 3 a.m. on Sunday. He's on at 7:30 in the middle of prime time, and I can't change the channel when he hops on
to
the screen.
More. I need more.
Oh, I got piles of Huell Howser. Now, a few months ago, I discovered he was going to the Baghdad Cafe somewhere in the middle of, like, Kern County or something.
Oh, boy.
He did a scintillating interview. All you young journalism students who are listening out there, you want to listen to this next segment. We got to take a break, but if you're interested in getting on the street and doing the man on the street, look, the way to learn about journalism is not on your back in some roof in San Francisco. It is out on the streets with a microphone and Louis, your cameraman.
Boy, this is going to be fun.
We'll get to the bottom of Huell Howser after
that. Exactly.
Now back to Adam, Teresa Strasser, and Danny Bonaducci on the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, finally, Huell Howser. He is someone I've been watching since I was probably in my late teens growing up out here in Southern California. He's on KCT, which is public broadcasting out here in Southern California. I don't know if this guy makes it up to the Bay Area. I imagine he does, Teresa.
I feel like I grew up watching him, but there was another guy on this show called Bay Area Backroads who was bore a striking similarity.
I rented that last weekend.
Huell definitely is in the Bay Area because I had a conversation with my dad. He loves Huell Hauser.
Oh, no.
He loves him in the sense that he is a very happy, embracing life kind of guy.
He is. Now, he is a huge man, and I don't mean fat. He is just a big Marine. I have no idea if he's married. I have no idea if he has children. I would guess not. But him and his cameraman, Louie, just wander around.
Wait a second. Yes. Are you suggesting that he and Louie...
I don't know when Louie puts the camera down and Huell undoes the boots with the steel shank if there's any love found.
I hope they do it with the lens cap on because that's only safe.
You do not want to see that. That is not California's gold right there. So he wanders around California and he goes to, look, I've lived in Southern California my whole life. There are places you can go. There's the Golden Gate Bridge.
Yep.
There's the Coit Towers and there's Malibu Colonies. The Coit
Tower. San Francisco.
I mean, there are many landmarks along the way. He doesn't seem to find any of those.
No.
He goes to the Dust Bowls.
Not
there. So I was watching the other day, and Huell was going through, let's see, I had to write it down here. He's heading to essentially Bakersfield. And the Newberry Springs area, which I've never heard of, but this looks...
When you describe where you live as being 25 miles north of some place you never heard of, you live in Podunk.
Yes, this is essentially Dust Bowl from the Depression era is what it looked like. A lot of guys wearing suspenders and walking around and driving around crappy pickup trucks. There was no vegetation. There was nothing to be found, but Huell found it. And let's listen to his first segment.
Now listen, we're heading to Newberry Springs. How do we get there?
It's 1 mile over there.
Just straight down this road?
Yeah.
Is it a pretty nice little town?
Yeah.
Do you live there?
Yeah.
Is there much to see when we get there?
Not really, but yeah. You can see old people. A lot of old people over there.
Oh, so I'm digging in. I mean, I'm chomping at the bit. There's going to be old people in the Dust Bowl. This is going to be awesome.
This is nice.
And again, this is why communism does not work, because this guy has been on the air for 26 years, and if he worked for a company that wasn't paid for by us, I mean, we're essentially his bosses, and we look the other way. If this guy was on Comedy Central, or this guy was on CNN, or this guy was on NBC, or VH1, he would have been gone in the first 3 hours.
I don't know about Comedy Central. He might rock on Comedy Central.
You're actually right. Their audience does have a nice sense of irony.
They really do.
And probably would have enjoyed him. So now Huell's second stop along his journey.
Notice the light gray-green bushes
Jesus.
That predominate the base of the hill to your right. This is desert holly. It has small red berries on it at Christmas time. It flourishes in high alkaline soil. And boy, this is high alkaline soil here.
Boy.
Are you all having as much fun as we are learning about this kind of stuff?
I feel like if you just took a video camera, put it on a tripod, and put it anywhere on a map and fired it up for an hour, you could arguably get as much entertainment value out of that.
But... let me ask you something. If he was sincere at the end right then, boy, this is high alkaline soil.
We're having as much fun as we are learning about this kind of stuff.
If he's really having a great time doing
that,
that's kind of neat. You know?
Oh, look, it'll warm your cockles and bring a smile to your face.
Nothing rocks like hot cockles.
No, your cockles will be toasty after Huell is done with you. But just the idea, like, first off, I would like to see what didn't make the cut.
Oh, no.
What got edited out of this thing? Because the idea is that, like, when you work for a network, you take two cameras, you go out for 2 days, and you come back with a 3-minute piece.
Right, and then you edit from the two different cameras, so you have angles and things, because you can't do that with one camera.
Huell shoots for 45 minutes and comes back with an hour piece somehow. I don't know how that's possible. There's nothing that gets cut out, as we'll hear.
We would shoot 300 hours of tape to get 22 minutes of Bonaducci.
Right.
Tell me about all these rocks. It's rocks that I picked up over a period of years and a few years since I've done it.
They don't even have audio.
Wow, this is amazing. You've got
rocks.
You've got little rocks, big rocks. Look at this one. What is this?
I guarantee it's just a rock.
Yeah.
He's got coffee cans full of rocks over here.
Now, look, if the guy said, I'm a World War II vet, and this one is from the beach of Iwo Jima, that would have been something, right. But I just picked them up.
This was from the moon. That would do.
That would do. Even then, it would be boring. He wasn't holding up a geode that was cut in half. Right. He was just holding up a gray river rock. So he's now essentially walking through a sun-blistered valley talking to old people about dirt.
And by the way, the dirt is alkaline.
High alkaline.
All right. Now, at some point, he stumbles into the Baghdad Cafe. Is that where he's entering now?
Yeah, you want to tease the Baghdad Cafe or you want to just go through it?
Oh, my God. Yeah. Now, this is a shack where people come to get eggs and die.
Right.
Because now he is brought down. The thing about Huell that's funny is he is 10 times more enthusiastic about the business, town, restaurant, whatever he visits, than the people that run it, which is the real comedy. Let's just hear the first installment. He stumbles into the Baghdad Cafe.
Is this the world famous Baghdad Cafe?
Yeah, is that? How you doing, sir? My name is Bob.
Are you in charge of this?
No, this man has in charge of the place.
Danny's there.
Does he own it?
He owns it. Yeah, it's here.
Well, let's go inside.
Sure.
This is on the tour.
Sure, that's on TV now.
Yeah.
I can't believe I'm in the
show. You're going inside.
Now, I got to say, I've taken the tour of Newberry Springs many times. As a matter of fact, I honeymoon there with my lovely bride.
Yeah, horse and carriage.
Look, you go for the Baghdad Cafe, but you stay for the coffee can filled with rocks.
Yes.
I mean, do not.
Soil.
A lot of people will skip the old guy with the rocks in his yard. Please, you're making a grave mistake.
I figured out what hits the editing floor. You know, in the summertime, these bushes get these big red berries. Bluey sometimes gets those. That
right.
hits the editing floor.
Yeah. All the things that are sexually suggestive.
The average age of the Huell Hauser viewer is probably dead.
Now, I got to tell you, things look pretty slow right here, but I think it's going to pick up.
Please just tempt me with one more morsel from the Baghdad Cafe before we go to break.
The next two clips kind of go together, so you want to save them or you want to hear it?
Take a break. I just want to tell you this. He makes a phone call that is second to none. I mean, you've never seen this on television before.
Cannot wait.
Okay, we'll take a quick break. We'll be back to get to the bottom of Huell Hauser after this.
He's a chain-smoking, red-headed man. He's doing mornings with the Ace Man. Been arrested many times and paid a lot of fines. How long till he makes Teresa cry? Oh, Danny, he beat up Greg Brady and a tranny. And he's done lots of drugs. Oh, Danny, he's doing steroids and karate. We should all be afraid, oh, Danny.
Speaking of afraid, the Tuttles from American Chopper just walked into the green room, so we'll bring them in a few. First,
Rugged. We
get to the bottom of Huell Hauser. Now, I see some people calling up where they're big Huell fans and lay off Huell.
We love Huell.
This is an homage.
It's out of love.
I do. He's you know what he's like? He's like a warm old comforting. He's like a recliner that your wife wants you to throw out because it's got a hole in it, the spring sticking out, but it fits your ass.
Comfortable.
Huell fits your ass. That's what I'm saying.
I don't mean to be rude to Huell, but the Huell Hauser show done right is called On the Road with Charles Kuralt.
Yes.
You remember that?
Or listen, possibly Insomnia.
Charles Cross is dead. We still have Huel. Let's celebrate.
All right, Ivan.
Yeah, what's up?
You want me to lay off Huel?
Yeah, you're looking a little too thick. I agree. You know, it's not riveting television, but he actually does show interesting stuff. And
it's rocks. Riveting radio.
Well, let's decide.
Now, else has got some stories?
All I'm saying is he's on public television.
Should we give
out
Ivan
here.
Something to listen to?
Yes. Let's decide if this is riveting.
The starting point, the Newberry Market. It says here it was built in the 1930s, was known as the Cliff House.
He's reading a sign.
And it sported a gas station, cafe, cabins for rent, general store, post office, and public swimming pool. Was the flag stop for both Greyhound and Continental Trailways bus lines.
Well, he's on the French Riviera.
If you aren't real busy, Greyhound. You may be able to talk the owners into showing you their old photos of the place, and be sure and load up on munchies and beverages for the rest of the tour. It's a nice old place, but it's closed.
Now, that's what I'm saying. If I was paid to go out and shoot something and bring something back and the place was closed, that would probably not make the cut.
Right.
Right.
That's what happens. It's like if you go to interview somebody and he's not there, you can't still run it.
Right.
You know what I mean? You have
to
actually talk to the person you're interviewing. You actually have to enter into the place that you're taking a tour of.
So we've accomplished our mission.
It's communism doesn't work. But let's keep going because I spotted this a few months back and again, this runs out here in Southern California. He's been a fixture. He's been on the air for 20 years.
Yeah.
California Gold. He's in somewhere around Bakersfield, Newberry Springs. He's going to the famous landmark Baghdad Cafe. Yes, Brian.
Line 5.
Line 5. He was a grand marshal in the gay parade.
Ah.
Christmas. Chris?
Yeah, Adam, Ace Man.
I guess if you're the grand marshal in the gay parade, we can out you.
You don't have to be gay.
Well, that's a decent point.
I lived out here in Palm Springs for about 20 years, and they have a thing which is called the White Party.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
the
I
gays,
know it.
They all gather up here in Palm Springs, and boy, do they party.
I got to say, I don't know much about the gay lifestyle. I would think Huel would be a bear and a top.
Yes.
That's just me.
Is he big enough to be a bear?
He's big enough to be a bear, and as far as the top goes, if he runs into another top, that top will quickly be converted to a bottom because he's a lot of man.
You really have a great deal of respect for Huel Howser.
I fear that Huel comes and puts a very slow, boring ass-whooping on me. Yes.
Wow. And he narrates the whole thing. I think Huel Howser would probably let you know
Louis,
everything.
Are you getting this? I'm bending that F Corolla into a pretzel right now.
Then he interviews you, and he asks you how you're liking it.
Your spine is protruding from the small of your back.
Do you have a man crush on Huel Howser?
I kind of do.
He kind of does.
All right, so let's hear now Huel continue his tour of the famous Baghdad Cafe.
Howdy, how you doing? Well, we're just doing an interview here, finding out about the Baghdad Cafe.
Oh, he's on the phone at this point.
What?
He's on the phone with the owner.
I know. Is that picture in there of Burt Lancaster? Why is there a portrait of Burt Lancaster in here on the wall of the Baghdad Cafe?
He's on the phone.
Oh, you just bought it. He's never actually
been here. This is aired on television.
I was watching this at home at 7:30.
They just hung it up. Well, it looks good.
He's on the phone with the owner. The phone is not mic'd, obviously. We can't hear the owner's response. And he's like, you have a picture of Burt Lancaster on the wall. He never came in here. I see.
Oh,
just a fan. Okay, so you put the picture up. Wait a minute, we've mic'd up the phone. I see a picture of David Niven on the wall. Has he come in here often?
No, never been here.
I see Kirk Douglas up on the wall. Is he frequent this establishment?
Never met the man.
Walter Matthau. I see a picture of Walter Matthau up there. Does he eat here often?
No.
When you get the Klugman, come to me.
Don Amici?
Never met him.
Yul Brynner?
big fan of his work, but no.
You understand he did an interview with somebody on a phone where the other side of the conversation was not Mike.
And nor did he know the people that he was being interviewed about with the answers you couldn't hear.
Wait, Adam, I'm begging you to pick up line four.
All I'm saying is what gets cut?
Nothing.
Evidently. Anthony?
Yes, sir.
What do you have to say for yourself?
I was at a bar with a buddy of mine in Palm Springs. We're out there hanging out, and there's Huell Howser sitting there. So I walk over. I'm like, hey, Huell, you know, great show, blah, blah, blah. I'm kind of busting his balls a little. And next thing I know, he goes over to where he's sitting. Bartender comes over and hands me a drink. I'm like, cool, who bought me this? And he's like, that guy right there. And it was Huell. He bought me a drink.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like sitting there tapping my buddy, Albert, and I'm going, I think Huell Howser's trying to pick up on me.
Was it a gay bar?
No, it was just regular bar, straight bar, whatever.
I sent him over a Tom Collins.
You know what?
Two-part Tom Collins mix. Louie, can you get this jigger vermouth? Are we seeing this?
I have a different theory. Just hear what he said. I go up to my busting his balls a little bit. So what does he do? He goes up and he buys the guy a drink. He's a perfect gentleman.
Well, that's true. How dare you?
Yes, he was just being friendly.
That's right. Line 6, Pink's, the famous Pink's hot dog, has a hot dog named after Huell Howser.
Is it alcohol?
I'd like a mouthful of Howser, please.
Teresa has a bun named after her over there, by the way. All right, I don't want to talk to any of you people. I want to hear more Huell from the Baghdad Cafe.
You are into it.
She said Newberry Springs has a lot of great characters for movies. They don't have to bring in the extras. They're already here, right? Nice to talk to you.
Can we hear him having that conversation one more time on the phone with the owner, who isn't Mike, please?
Howdy, how you doing? Well, we're just doing an interview here, finding out about the Baghdad Cafe. Is that picture in there of Burt Lancaster? Why is there a portrait of Burt Lancaster in here on the wall of the Baghdad Cafe? Oh, you just bought it. He's never actually been here. They just hung it up. Well, it looks good.
Now, I see a poster of a cat that says, hang in there. Yeah. Is that your cat?
Was that hanging from your tree?
You just bought it. Okay.
The cat's never been here.
But
I see a picture of Jesus Christ on the wall. Did you know he? Oh, I see another purchase.
I actually see him baked into a muffin.
How much is it, you know, to mic the phone? I mean, what sort of budget is Huell Howser dealing with?
Evidently not much.
To be honest with you, it depends on how much you want to suck. And to not suck as bad as he was sucking, you take the microphone, and when he answers his question, you put the receiver or the speaker of the phone to that microphone, and it will be better than that.
But I argue, once you become surreal, then you don't.
Right.
You get on a roll, and you don't want to ruin that. This is more entertaining than any sitcom that comes on after it. We have one more. Is this a bonus?
I think this is sort of the end. Was it? Is that? Yeah.
This is the wrap of him.
He's having lunch with some locals.
Oh, okay. Ah. And still at the Baghdad Cafe.
And this.
He's hit the road now. I kid you not. Picture the surface of the moon with a bunch of old people walking in a circle, waiting to die. That's visually what's going on.
He found these two guys raking outside of their house, and he just walked up to them, and they invited him in for lunch.
You invited us to stay and have lunch.
Yes.
And we accepted. I don't think you thought we were going to accept.
No, that's fine.
So what we've done, we've got spaghetti and salad and bread, and we're sitting out. Look at this backyard here. It's just great. And Lauren and Bud, we're all going to sit here and have lunch. This is great.
Again, this, what doesn't make the cut? He's having
lunch.
Louie follow him around with a beta cam while he just stumbles into strangers and talks about rocks.
But he does seem like he's having a good time.
He loves everything.
He's having a good time.
So he closes this episode. The big finale is lunch.
But this is why, see.
But not at the Baghdad Cafe.
My overall, yes, it's called a crescendo.
Thank you.
my overall point to this whole thing is this is why capitalism and competition is a good thing, because American car manufacturers in the 70s were making junk. The stuff was falling apart, and what happened? Well, the Japanese started shipping their efficient,
unbreakable
cars over from Japan in the mid-70s, and the next thing you know, it was a wake-up call. Now, American cars have gotten much more higher in quality and fuel efficiency and many, many other things. Why? They have to compete against Subaru and Nissan and Toyota. Thus, it is up their game. When you have no competition on public television, well, you end up talking to old people about rocks and coffee cans. And this went on for an hour, by the way. You only heard a minute and 45 of it. It never ended.
I just like that Burt Lancaster's never been there.
I just want to see the Japanese competition for Huelhauser going through Osaka. Meeting old people talking about rocks.
He'd be forced to kill himself.
Doing a better job of it.
Are you all having as much fun as we are learning about this kind of stuff?
I am now.
All right. Well, there you go. And again, Huel, if you're listening, a tip of the hat.
We
really
love you. And he does he does have a joie de vivre.
He certainly
does. Huel Hauser.
We need to take a break. Now, somebody who competes in the real world, the Tuttles from American Chopper.
Yeah,
that's right.
Awesome.
They have
real men are coming in the studio.
We will talk to them right after this.
And we're back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Listen, what he's doing, only one person can do.
I don't give a
It shouldn't take that long to do that exhaust, all right?
You don't know that.
Get it done.
Listen.
Get the thing done.
You don't know what you're talking about.
Listen to me.
I'm going to lunch.
Yes, you're going to lunch.
And now America's favorite dysfunctional family from American Chopper, the Tuttles, on the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, good to see you guys.
Hey, guys.
What's going on?
Hey, guys.
Nice to see you again.
Now, as I knew this would happen because Sean Alexander, the Pro Bowl Seattle Seahawks running back who set the NFL touchdown record, was due to call in at some point this morning, and we tried juggling it, and he just popped onto the phone. So,
I thought you were going to say he was caught with steroids.
No.
No, that was me, man.
That's Danny.
That's me.
You guys,
by the way, they're in the saddlebag of my Harley right outside if you need something.
Well, what do we do, Tuttles? Do we talk to Sean Alexander?
Let's talk
briefly
to Sean Alexander. He's way cooler than we are.
Well, I got a question. Just a personal question about how I do things. You can do whatever you want. What time was he supposed to call in?
Well, I don't know. Sometime today.
I
would like to punish him, but he's not. He's
Put him on.
And he could kick my
ass.
He's
awesome.
Sean Alexander.
Hey, what's up, my brother?
Good to speak to you. Sean, you guys are heading over to Chicago. Are you in Chicago yet?
No, we're leaving in about a couple hours. We're about to jump on the plane and go.
They're going to play the Bears, obviously, for the playoffs this weekend. And one of the most vaunted defenses in the National Football League. What do you think? Any predictions?
You know, they're pretty good. But I think we're going to play well. So, you know, that just is what it is. Once you're in the playoffs, everybody's good, though. So, you know.
When somebody asks you that, do you ever predict, I'm going to suck? You know, I'm thinking about that, Adam, and I predict I'm going to suck this year. Do you ever do that, or do you always say, yeah, I predict we're going to play pretty well?
I think you're supposed to say that.
Okay, I'm just checking.
As soon as you say I'm going to suck, they're like, it's probably time to trade.
Okay, just want to know. Thank you.
Sean, you have a book that we're going to give a quick plug to, which is called Touchdown Alexander. This is your story of faith, football, and pursuing the dream. What do we need to know about this?
Oh, you know, it's really just my autobiography, and it's funny because being so young, I was like, man, what do I know about to write an autobiography? But I was telling some people some stories of just funny things that happened in my life, some faith things that happened in my life, and some cool football stories, and people were like, man, you should write that down. And next thing you know, it became a book, and I think we sold like 45,000 in the first month, and it's at 70,000 now, so it's doing really well.
Are you a religious man, Sean?
Oh, yeah, I'm a man of faith, definitely. You know, I was saved when I was young, and just, you know, trying to fight the fight and walk the good walk, and it has definitely parts of good times and also struggles in my walk.
I feel like there's in terms of pro sports, you either have the guys that are born again and have been saved and, you know, look up at the heavens every time they score a touchdown and thank the Almighty, or you have the guys who can't get enough blow and hookers. Not so many, which I would call agnostics in professional sports, you know?
You know what? You can be both, buddy.
Oh, really?
You can be both.
Yeah, you're right. Deion Sanders.
I've done an eight ball and then thanked God really fast.
Sean, do you know some guys like that?
Oh, Michael Irvin. Guys
you
like
know,
that.
I think that true men of faith don't have to judge. It's about your own walk. And I think that everybody just is trying to get there, that wants to get there. They're trying to get there. So I don't really judge like where they are in their walk, because sometimes it's going to take people a little bit longer than others to really get to where they're supposed to be living.
By the way, if people were watching, speaking of men of faith, you getting out of the Escalade?
No, God's calling.
What are you driving, Sean?
What is this car? The truck.
You know we've arrived when you don't know what you're driving.
Which of your cars you're in?
When I asked Tommy Lee what year his Ferrari was, and he said, how do I know? I thought, wow, you've arrived, my brother. But speaking of faith, watching Seattle beat Dallas last week on a flubbed hold, I mean... Now, how does it work? Because I don't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. But if you're Sean Alexander and you're playing for the Seahawks, do you pray that Dallas flubs the hold so you guys win what would have been a chip shot field goal?
I didn't. I was actually sitting there thinking about our 2-minute offense, because we're really good at that. At, you know, taking the ball with a minute 30 and going about 50 yards.
Right.
We got the best field goal kicker in the NFL.
I'm a Rams fan. I know all about it.
Right.
All about it. Guy kicked a 63 yarder with time on the clock to beat the Rams outdoors.
So that's what I got. So my thing was, okay, let's see how we can get from, you know, this kickoff to the 35.
I told my buddy, who was a Dallas fan, look, don't feel bad. They would have scored a field goal in the last second and broken your heart anyway.
Right,
well, Sean, we will be watching this weekend. Is the Chicago game Saturday or Sunday?
Sunday. It's at 10 o'clock out here, so it's going to be an early one for us.
All right, and do me a favor. Run over Urlacher for me.
I'll give it a try. You know, my boy is a good friend of yours too, Jimmy Kimmel. He came out to the game, so I'll send you out an invitation too, man. You come sit up in my box.
Please, I would love to climb in your box any day, Sean.
Wow.
Big fan. Sean, and I'll tell you the thing about Sean Alexander that's great, is he's not one of these guys that makes a buffoon of himself with the crazy end zone celebrations and all this crazy crap. He just throw him the rock, he goes across the goal line, he hands it to the ref, and he trots back to the sideline.
You gotta love that.
Meanwhile, he just does nothing but score touchdowns. He set the record last year, and then LT from San Diego beat it this year, which is something that rarely ever happens because the record stood for like 30 years before that. Listen, let's not talk about sports anymore. We got the Tuttles from American Chopper.
Yes.
In here. You guys are out here promoting a new season, American Chopper, because you guys went over to TLC, right?
Yeah, that's right. We're with TLC now.
You were on Discovery, and TLC is sort of under the Discovery umbrella, or how does that work?
Yeah, that's pretty much it. You know, I mean, you know that Discovery owns all these other channels, and TLC happens to be one of them. You know, they just change things at Discovery. I think they're going in a different direction.
They actually made that clear, that they're going in a different
direction. Yeah, they're trying to make it more manly, right?
Well,
no, TLC. No, they're trying to make
What's
that
wrong
more.
With us?
I'm saying they're trying to make the TLC
no,
more
manly.
Bush.
Well, I think...
by having you.
TLC, yes.
That's my point.
You know what? At first we were like, oh, this is going to be weird. But you know what? It's really good. They put a huge budget behind us.
Yeah.
Well, that's kind of a weird question right there, though.
What's
that was a little weird, what channel you're going to be on.
You know,
you
TLC,
guys make
it sounds
Harley
like...
Davidsons, and our, especially Dad, is just shy of a thug. And then you get your own show. That's weird.
Yeah, not the big budget. Yeah.
You know, the whole thing has got to be... Did it throw your whole life when this started happening to you? Because you guys are super recognizable.
Are you talking about the show from the beginning?
Dead on. You guys are making bikes in a garage... to all of a sudden, because there are people who are on TV every day that don't get recognized. You're not those people. Right. I know you a mile away. Yeah. Has it changed everything about your life?
Yeah, absolutely everything. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, how did it start? Pauly Sr., by the way, he's sitting on a stool that is actually lower than the slab of the floor. I'm not sure how that's mathematically possible. I feel bad. You can stand up.
Oh, you know what? That man doesn't need to get up to be big.
Yeah. How did it begin then? So you guys are in New Jersey, right?
New York. Come on, Adam.
I'm sorry.
What the?
Get your shine box.
I'm from North Hollywood.
I was going to yell at you for sending bad people to Cuba instead of New Jersey. We should go rocking.
You guys are from Orange County,
New York. In between Albany and New York City.
You're quietly going about your job of building custom hogs.
Small town.
And then this turns into a TV show. How did that start? Huell Hauser came by with a camera crew. How did you guys get on TV?
Actually, I started a steel fabricating business in the early 70s, so the choppers evolved from that. Mm-hmm. Like in 1999, I started
building
choppers in the basement, and then I opened up a little shop down below the steel shop. But what happened is Jesse did the first show out on
Jesse James.
Did the first show, and it was very successful. You know,
it became even more successful.
Yeah. But anyhow, what happened was Discovery went to Craig Pilgrim of Pilgrim Films, and he said, "Let's try a builder on the East Coast." Mm-hmm. So what happened was he was going through websites, and he saw a picture of me.
Yeah. Got to do it.
And he gave us a call. And basically what happened was he left after he made the call, said, "You guys are it. We want to come down, do a one-hour documentary." And he left to do some other kind of show. Somebody else was left in charge, and they went to a friend of theirs and kind of went right by us. And
your son just pretended like he was falling asleep.
This is amazing.
He just pretended.
They came and filmed you. Does dad have as much fun as we are learning about this kind of stuff?
Sometimes dad makes you mad, though, doesn't he?
No.
They were arguing on the way here.
He likes the long version.
Because he'll beat your ass right here. I know he will.
Well, then that makes
the long and the short of it. The long and the short of it is that when the producer came back, he didn't feel right with the other guy who we went with, gave us a call, said, "I feel better about you guys, and if you want to do the show, we'll be down in 3 days." We said, "Come on down," and the rest is history.
And
is that short enough?
Now, I got to tell you, things look pretty low right here, but I think it's going to pick up.
I got two short questions. First of all, one is, does it bother you that people refer to you as a dysfunctional family? Because I watch you guys, and you yell and you scream. Nobody gets hurt. Nobody cries. Nobody feels like they're an outcast of the family. You guys are just a hard-ass family.
Once in a while, there's a tear or two. I don't look at
you guys like a dysfunctional family at all. I look at you guys like a really cool, tight-knit. Here's what I'm saying. On the worst day with your worst son doing the worst thing, if somebody effed with him, you'd kill him.
Absolutely.
See, I don't see a dysfunctional family. Yeah, yeah. I see an excellent family.
I think we kind of did it. You know, and made it okay because there's probably a lot of people in the closet.
Everybody's dysfunctional.
You know, most people probably live like that. You know what I'm saying? And we more or less came out and said, "Well, you know, it is okay."
This is what we did. We were just us. That's all we ever are and ever will be. And that's what's been successful. Why? I don't know. I have no idea. But they just filmed us doing what we do. And people love watching it, and they continue to love watching it. As long as they keep watching it, we're going to keep doing it. Yeah, you know, it's the family. Everybody relates to it on every level.
Here's the thing. You know, we worry about what people are watching on TV. When I was a kid, I came from a sort of depressing family with a crappy house and a divorced parents and everything. And when I would watch the so-called wholesome programming,
like
the
me,
Partridge Family, the Brady Bunch, I would get depressed.
Yeah.
Because I would see the whole family run into a nice, clean house with a housekeeper and all sit down at the table for the
Ozzie
meal.
And Harriet.
And all the Ozzie and Harriet crap.
And then my three sons.
I would take a look at our crappy sofa and my crappy family. I'd want to kill myself.
Right, but then you find out
But then I'd switch over to Good Times, and all of a sudden I felt better about myself.
better. A little better.
My dad.
They still got along good, though.
So I'm saying if you think you're feeling bad about your family, you just switch over to American Chopper. You see the Tuttles going at it, and all of a sudden,
you'll feel like you have everything.
You know what? To be honest with you,
Dad molesting you, not so bad anymore.
I wouldn't. Yeah, well, if that was happening, that's one thing. But if I would go over the Tuttles, I'd still be a little jealous. Like, we didn't. Even when they're fighting, you can see a loving family that's having a fight. We didn't fight like that. We fought to kill because we hated each other.
Yeah.
When I see these guys go, it's just part of the show business. It's like, go, get him. Oh, yeah. He really did it. Really give it to him this time. And then everybody gets back to work. I just see the love. The other short question I have, and it's really short, and I probably shouldn't waste time on it. If I send you my 2005 1200 Sportster, what will you charge me to have it say 97.1 Free FM? On the gas tank.
Half a mil or so.
Okay, we won't be doing that.
Big time.
I have a question for you guys. You mentioned
That's easy.
You mentioned Jesse James and Sandra Bullock. Yes. Obviously gorgeous. Why do women love motorcycles?
It's exciting, I
think.
It's
the rebellious edge.
Yeah.
Dangerous guys.
The leather.
Yeah.
The tattoos.
Yeah, I think it's a whole...
Plus, if you think about a Harley, it's like a huge vibrator. I mean, if you think about it. I mean, the engines aren't balanced that well. You know what I mean? I mean, when you sit...
Or the drivers.
Yeah, you're on a rice rocket, and you barely feel anything, but you jump on the back of a hog, and it's like you've piled on top of a 500-pound vibrator.
And for boys out there that don't believe him, I had a girlfriend that I used to catch sitting on the dryer all the time until I caught on to what she was doing.
Right.
Just makes a shake.
Would you guys even date a woman that wouldn't ride the motorcycle, that was scared of the motorcycle?
Sure. Absolutely.
Yeah, it doesn't really matter. She's Sandra Bullock. If she's making 15 mil a picture.
Thank you.
Sure. Sal?
Yeah?
You have a question for the Tuttles from American Chopper?
Oh, yeah. How's it going, guys?
Good. How you doing?
Hey, Sal.
I'm a big fan of all you guys.
Thank you.
What a shocker that a guy named Sal would be a fan of American Chopper.
Yeah, I was wondering, Paul, there, senior, I just got a copy of the new Mopar Action, and I see you got quite the car collection going now, the muscle cars.
Yeah, it's I love it. I got... that's my era, when I was younger. I used to, in the 60s, race cars and stuff.
Chrysler.
That was a dream that I always, had and kind of came true, due to the success of the show. But, I have quite a few muscle cars.
That's neat.
Is your question, are they going to branch out into doing four wheels instead of two wheels?
Yeah, that was one of my questions. Are you guys going to be doing any, muscle restoration on the show or any type of auto restoration shows?
We're not looking to do that. know what, though? It is a possibility.
Too many other people doing that?
Yeah, everybody.
Ride.
We like to buy them already restored in mint condition because no one's got any time.
Yeah.
We could barely build bikes at this stage.
Are the Mopars your favorite or is it the GM products?
I have a 64 GTO tri-power that's my favorite car.
I have a 67 GTO convertible that I cannot keep fixed to save my life, man. It's killing me.
What do you guys have already completed this season, right?
No,
we're just starting.
We're never done.
We're into our probably...
Wait.
I think we're into our eighth or ninth show of the fourth season.
Jesus.
Right, you've done projects. What? I mean, we're going to turn on the TV on Thursday night at 9 o'clock on TLC.
That's right.
Everything will be brand new, but the bike we'll be looking at is one that you've worked on
that's
already.
Right. Yeah, it's a whole new episode.
Yeah, we have about five or six shows in the can. So when we go to TLC. The first five or six shows will be all brand new shows.
Right.
The first show that they're going to air is a biker build off between me and Paulie. We developed the dealer network now, so we
already did that show.
You did that show?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it hasn't been aired.
We just got it in the can.
So you do the biker
in the can.
Build off.
We do the biker build off. I build a bike, he builds a bike, and that'll be our first airing on TLC.
Right. And I'm asking, this year, are you doing one for the Marines? Are you doing one for the post office? Are you doing one for Lincoln Welders? Are you? Can you give away any of the themes of the bikes?
GoDaddy, HP. Who else?
We just came from HP.
Mm-hmm.
Go Fast.
So every company now, everyone wants a hog because they're treating it like an art form now.
It's amazing.
It is an art form.
It's great promotional value.
Yeah, they do this thing. They'll do an on-air, get tremendous promotion out of it, and then blow everyone away at the trade shows.
I'm dead serious. I just send you the gas tank, right, for 97.1 FM.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm going to.
drain it this time, though, Danny, so it makes it onto the plane.
The other thing is our show airs in 160 countries.
Yes.
Jesus. And it's popular in just about every country.
We got an Astro Award in Australia, which is, I guess it's like an Australian Emmy.
Well,
or
you know,
Logie is, yeah.
I think the I got some Astro Glide actually when I was over there. The totally different award. Point is this Choppers. This is exclusively, or at least was, American, right? I mean, this is like rock and roll.
Yes,
like, we started this.
Yes.
Like,
yeah. Choppers, American. Yes,
the rest
Choppers.
Of the world. I mean, they're over there.
No. Europe had probably hated us back in the '60s when Choppers started coming out. Because, you know, they just like that stock bike thing, you know.
Plus,
but
their
I think
roads are more narrow.
It originated around here. I think even Harley disliked it because people were pulling apart stock bikes, you know. I mean, the original
right.
Choppers were just stripped down Harleys.
Right.
They just took them down to shave weight and, you know, get rid of all the extra baggage.
And until very recently, British bikes and all European bikes sucked. They were the worst bikes. They break every 5 minutes.
Yeah, there's no. I mean, you can't take a Triumph or a Moto Guzzi and turn it into a Chopper.
Oh, absolutely,
you can.
They're very popular.
Really?
Hold on. Yeah, there's big forks on a Triumph.
I got a few Chopper Triumphs. Yeah, during the '60s, late '60s and early '70s, people that couldn't afford Harleys, they chopped Triumphs, BSAs, and 750 Hondas.
Hondas,
very popular.
I remember that.
Really?
Now, who else has chopped them?
But I have to admit, I would drive by and call those guys gay. You know, if you're on a Honda 750 chopper, I'd have to call you gay.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
Or learning.
They don't like the rice for us. You know what? For us, it doesn't matter. We don't care what you ride. We're not real particular about that stuff.
Do you guys, you're not snobs. Do you guys go to Sturgis?
You know, we do if we can. But, you know, our schedule's like, you know.
We've been to every single motorcycle out there.
Can you ride a BMW or a Honda to Sturgis these days?
Yeah, not a problem. Sure. Not a problem. You know, it's become so, you know, part of culture, the whole motorcycle thing, that it people just drive whatever. And it's a lot of older people getting into it, you know, and even some, you know, a lot of younger people, a lot of women are riding.
Harleys have gotten so expensive. Where you used to be afraid of a guy on a Harley, remember, I guess I had to be about 10. But if a guy was on a Harley, he was notoriously dangerous. Everybody knew that.
Yep.
And now, he's most likely your doctor or lawyer on his $40,000 bike. Yeah.
What do you guys think of helmet laws? Are you down with them?
Do you care? I think that they're good,
smart,
you know.
Yeah.
They're smart, you know what I mean?
You want to keep your brain.
I prefer to ride without one.
So do I.
Oh, really?
It's nice to ride without it, but, you know.
Florida and Illinois.
You know how you die on a motorcycle?
How?
A head injury.
Yeah.
Right,
that's what
true.
Kills you. You
but
could
Paul,
break up your body.
You still ride without it?
Right.
Well, you know, in New York it's a helmet law, but when I go out west riding, you know, up in the Rockies and stuff like that, I'll take it off.
By the way,
I got titanium from here to here from riding a rice burner and just having way more balls than talent.
Adam, this is radio. Rice burner's the name of a young Japanese gentleman who used to work here.
Yeah, he broke my arm.
That's what I'm saying. Well, you don't pay up, Danny. How many times do I have to explain how the male prostitution game goes?
Sometimes you tell me, I always forget.
You do not try to stiff kimchi. He will bust your arm.
I did stiff kimchi, and he got mad about it.
Yeah, so now here's a quick question I have. I see the guys riding around. First off, I'm one of these guys. I used to have some bikes, not hogs, but I had some ninjas and things like that. And for me, you have to wear the right helmet for the right bike. I see a lot of guys on the Kawasaki 900 Cafe Racers wearing the World War II German helmet.
Yeah.
Wearing the hog helmet, and it always freaks me out. It's the wrong helmet for that bike, just like a full face one doesn't work on the hog.
Yeah. Right.
I agree with that.
Yeah. I think people try and mix it up, be a little creative.
The problem with this, and tell me if there's a way around it, though, because I get really cold sometimes, and you got to wear the right helmet, and a full-face helmet is much better.
If it's really cold,
Will you wear a full-face helmet on a Harley-Davidson, or will you wear that mask?
Well, you know what? I do the windshield deal, so I don't feel uncomfortable with the full-face, you know what I mean?
I'd rather wear
a scarf or something, or a full head thing.
Bones of a skull.
I'm going to get
like
a
Hannibal Lecter thing.
Yeah.
I'm going to get a little street cred with the Tuttles. I will tell you a story about a 20-year-old Adam Carolla, who decided to take his Honda 400 4 to Santa Barbara from North Hollywood. in a torrential rainstorm.
Oh, boy.
And somewhere around Ventura, I was freezing. It was at night. I was so goddamn cold. I was sopped, completely wet, and there was no place to pull over or do anything. I had to make it to Santa Barbara. I whizzed myself.
Oh,
going
just for,
70
just,
miles an hour.
Just to warm yourself
well,
up?
Well, it was, I was killing two birds with one whiz. I had to whiz really bad.
You
and
didn't
I was,
want to stop.
I was so soaked anyway, it wasn't going to hurt.
Don't you end up colder in the end when it dries?
For the 20 seconds of sweet relief, and I was soaked to the bone, and I just 75 miles an hour down the 101 whizzing.
Hey, if it's any consolation, we all would have done the same thing.
Yeah, really?
Not even thought twice.
Adam, you want a job?
Would you like Adam Carolla to work for you? Yeah.
Yeah. Test rides, absolutely.
I gotta tell you.
I know he's skilled. I know he's got skills.
He's got skills.
Do you have a man crush on Adam Carolla?
I'm crafty.
Maybe a little one.
Thank you. American Chopper, everyone. Coming up this Thursday, new home, TLC, 9 o'clock. Much love to the Tuttles.
We appreciate you guys coming in.
Oh, yes.
Thank you guys so much.
We'll be watching next week on Thursday. We'll take a quick break. I think we'll do a little custom stripper for you. That's right.
Ah.
When we come back, we'll do some custom stripping for you.
So should women call in?
Ladies, call in 866-901-ADAM. Oh, I believe we need your age and your height,
your job, hobbies, occupation,
and I will do a custom stripper call for
you.
It's
very special.
We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back after this.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show. We're having a party at the Playboy Mansion next Thursday night. Guess who's going to be there? Donald Trump.
I don't see us hugging and kissing.
Plus Adam's better half, Jimmy Kimmel. Hugh Hefner will be there with his girlfriends.
I really wasn't sure it was a good idea. But then I figured, what the f***?
Along with the Donald's first apprentice, Bill Rancic, Ivanka Trump, and Donald Trump Jr., Omarosa, and David Alan Greer. And Adam's got your tickets this morning.
Seems to be a very big story. You also have to honor commitments.
All right. Thanks to The Apprentice Los Angeles, Sunday nights at 9 on NBC, Maker's Mark, and Miller Lite. Now we're back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, this is something we haven't done in 07 yet. I don't believe Danny was here the last time we did it.
I've told you this time and time. It's one of my favorite parts. I have no idea what you're talking about.
Perfect.
I know.
This is a little custom strip club DJ call.
Right. Like when you get a cartoon of you and they put you playing the violin and it kind of looks like you.
Like when Danny goes to Six Flags Magic Mountain or Knott's Berry Farm and they're like hobbies. You're like getting loaded and kicking down doors. They're like, okay.
They draw a huge syringe
and it's funny and there's little heart bubbles coming off of it.
My biceps are as big as a house.
That's right. Yeah, yeah.
Gretchen's in the background trying to choke him.
Crying.
It would be nice if they did caricatures for flunky adults instead of just happy 9-year-olds.
I'm going to bring you something tomorrow that'll make you laugh.
But this is that only it's for women, as if it's their own custom announcement if they were strippers in a strip club.
That's right. Hold on, I was just picturing what that artist would have done with you on the roof of that building in San Francisco.
Let's never speak of that again.
Dude, sorry, I mentioned it.
I promise I'll go at least 4 minutes without bringing it up. Where were we? That's right. You give us your name, your occupations, hobby, kind of car you drive, and I'll work it into a custom stripogram for you. Anna?
Hey.
What's going on, baby doll?
What was that? I'm sorry.
You sound hot.
Oh, thanks, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Low self-esteem. I like that. Easy pickings. Get you in the closet. Anna, what is your occupation, Anna?
I'm a technical writer for a clothing company.
Ooh, just put on 20 pounds.
Uh-oh.
Oh, I'm only 118.
Really?
How tall?
5'4".
It's 118 inches wide. So. Technical writer for a clothing company.
What kind of clothing?
Yeah. The company is called Denang. It's an upscale clothing company. Oh, yeah.
Well, how technical is your clothing? I mean, what does it come with? Directions? Button? Zip?
What do you need?
My job basically is I measure clothing, I go to fittings, and I write factories to tell them what to fix.
And what?
So we don't look 118.
This is amazing.
Right. And what is your hobbies?
I like watching TiVo. I bake cookies and
Mm-hmm. You like to bake and watch TiVo.
Yes.
And you're not 190 pounds. Really?
No, I'm not. I'm pretty small. I just have a pretty exciting life, that's all.
Okay. So you love TiVo and you love popovers. And what kind of automobile do you drive?
An 03 Toyota Corolla.
Oh, perfect. 03, can't spell my own name.
A brief description of your appearance. Are you blonde, brunette?
I'm brunette. I am of Latin descent.
Nice.
Cup size?
A cup.
My kind of girl.
I happen to be a big fan.
All right. Let's see if we can work some of that into a little custom strip call for you.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to stage, Anna. She's a hot tamale. Mi amo es boner. Christian, great a job for you later. She's a tech writer for a clothing company. Speaking of clothing, why don't you take them pants off, baby? I could tell you, but I have to kill you. That's good stuff. But she's not watching TiVo. She's baking in an oven. I'll tell you something. Where's my oven mitten, baby? I got a job for you. Amber, stage four. Always a little business to take care of. Them. I got to tell you, she's driving a Toyota. She gets good mileage. I'll tell you something. I like to fill up at the pump. You know what I'm saying? I'm fat and I have a fanny pack. Who wants to do some tootski? All right, baby doll.
Did you like that? Did you like that, Anna?
Dude,
I loved it. I'm so excited.
Thank you, baby.
Did anybody actually see this drink shoot out my nose?
Oh, nice.
No, right out my nose.
The person that's ever come out of Danny Bonaduce's nose.
That's right.
He's had Coke and fish go into his nose, but he's never had anything come out of his nose.
The energy drink went shooting across the room.
Well, nice.
Yeah.
Let's keep it going with... let's see. We'll talk to Julie. What Julie's got to say. Julie, what do you got, baby? What's happening?
I have been falling asleep to you for the past 10 years, and now I wake up to you every morning.
Okay, I was going to say that. Then
thank you.
Kind of sucks.
I know what you mean.
I didn't know.
Yeah.
All right, name Julie. Occupation:
pharmaceutical sales.
Ah. Hi, my name's Danny. It's nice to meet you.
You call him Vika Danny.
You want to be one of his MySpace friends?
You can be my only MySpace friend.
All right, so Julie, pharmaceutical sales, hobbies.
I play soccer.
Nice. You play soccer.
Nice.
Excited about Beckham coming?
I think it's a little strange. I don't know how they're going to afford that.
Mm-hmm. So you play soccer as a hobby. Anything else in the
well,
hobby department?
I have a one-year-old son, so I spend a lot of time with him.
Mm-hmm.
Very busy.
Single mom?
What's that?
Single mom?
No, married.
Married, all right. And the kind of car you drive?
2006 Dodge Magnum. It's a company car.
Dodge. Mm. That's right. Mopar.
Yeah.
Right. Dodge Chrysler.
Can we get a brief description of your appearance?
I'm 5'10" and 125 pounds.
And thin.
Yeah, tall drink of water.
5'10".
Curly hair.
All right. You ready to get started, Julie?
Bring it on, baby.
Welcome to the stage, Julie. I call her Stretch, and I'll tell you something that I'm going to stretch right now. I'm reaching down just inside the fanny pack, and I'm stretching my stripper pole. Watch out. Where is she? Is she on stage, or is she just standing on the wrong side of the pole? She's so skinny, she'd be obscured by 3 inch bullying. I think that's good stuff right now. She's got to show some pharmaceutical sales. How about some Viagra, baby? She loves playing soccer, but don't call her soccer. Hey, Julie, I got some balls you can kick around. Stage four. Ah, she got herself a Dodge Magnum. Speaking of Magnum, where's my condom? She's a hot lad. Businessman lunch. Asians welcome. 12 noon. Buffet. All right.
Julie, was it all you'd hoped?
Yes, and more. Thank you so much. I love you, Adam.
I believe you. Thank you. I know. You know, a lot of women have the fantasy about stripping.
Yes.
And the thing about women, which is different than guys, is when guys have a fantasy, it is not a fantasy. It's called a goal that right. we can't get to.
Right. It's a fantasy we wouldn't want to do, mostly, is strip.
Right, which is a weird thing and maybe a topic for another day.
Well, women also have rape fantasies. I wouldn't want to be raped.
Right.
Women. Yeah, no, that's a weird thing, man. That's a really weird thing that I used to talk about with an old partner of mine. She used to talk about, like, the scenario she had with the cable guy. He'd come in and...
Right.
I'm thinking, that's... And she would... And then when the calls would come in, it was like a thing chicks had fantasized about.
Yes, it's
that.
A common fantasy, as is stripping, because it's that's you sick. Being seductive.
But it is funny that most women would fantasize right. about being a stripper, but if you said, hey, it's amateur night...
No, thanks.
...over at over Bob's Classy Lady, but like, no possible way am I doing it, whereas if a guy's fantasy is to be with three women in an orgy and someone gives him that opportunity, it's in. All right, and so is he. Where
was
are
it
we?
A strip contest at Rage, the gay bar on Santa Monica,
yes.
one night. I was just all wasted, walking down the street. There's this guy not nearly as buffed as me dancing.
Did you win the contest?
Well, no, but he just flipped out that it was me and I was doing it because I didn't make it.
Wow. You were having a smart cocktail over at Rage.
No, sure. I was not at Rage. I was drunk and wandering the streets at this point. Not okay. knowing exactly
where
West
Hollywood.
I was.
Do one for Danny.
Yeah!
Hey, Firecrotch! I got a 3-alarm one burning in my pants right now. Uh-oh, the shirt's coming off, lady. Look out! Somebody took some Nair to that chest.
Just this morning.
I'll tell you, I got my own salve. I'd like to spread on that. All right, let's talk to Denise. We got time for one more. Denise?
Hello.
Well, let's see. Let me get my... By the way,
Nair gives me a rash. I shave.
Let me get my cheat sheet here. Denise, all right. So name Denise. I have a piece of paper that has the blanks written in. Under name, I'm going to write Denise. Occupation...
I'm a police officer.
Yeah, this is going to work.
What county?
I don't want to say.
Okay, that's fine.
I see. But have you ever arrested you. Danny Bonaducci?
No, she's too young.
No comment.
Wait a minute. Oh. Have you really? If you it's cool with me, if you've arrested me, I don't
I'm
mind.
I'm joking, no. Oh. No.
I feel like we could do 6 degrees of separation for arrested Danny Bonaducci.
Yes.
I feel like there's not a person in North America who wouldn't say, my cousin worked as a security guard in Dade County in the late 80s, and yes?
How did you know that?
I'm just...
Are you guessing?
No, I'm guessing.
Dade County, wearing a shirt that says MTV says say no to drugs. In Dade County.
That's what I'm
Who
saying.
Else has got some
That's
story.
6 degrees of separation for arrested Bonaducci.
When you're not fighting crime, what hobbies do you have?
I enjoy working out. I'm a mommy to a 2-year-old, and I'm very happily married.
Mm-hmm. And the car you drive?
It's an 07 Mercedes R350.
Mind if I ask one question?
Yeah.
The gun you carry.
Huh. I'm sorry.
Standard issue, the gun you carry.
Your piece.
Glock 22.
You carry the Glock 22. All right. So she carries a custom piece. That says a little something.
Can we get a brief idea what you look like, Denise?
I am 5'8", 135, brown hair, brown eyes.
Mm. All right. All right, Officer Denise.
By the way, chicks with guns all look alike, I promise. It's like, oh.
How many rounds does that Glock hold?
No, not 9. It is, I believe, 15.
More, that's
one
right.
One in the chain.
One in the hole.
Oh, right. Boy.
You go down in caliber, but you go up in number of bullets
Denise
you got there.
Denise is sexy talking about her Glock.
All right.
Oh, I dig her.
You ready to rock, Denise?
Ready to rock.
I'll tell you something. Get your granny, drop your lane, and welcome to stage, Officer Denise. I'll tell you, my billy club is swollen as hell. You can take me downtown anytime. You want to talk about your Glock? I want to talk about something that rhymes with Glock, baby. I got one chambered right now. Uh-oh! It just went off in the holster. Clean up aisle 9.
Denise, stage four, stage four. Wait a minute, she's on stage five. Sharon, stage four, stage five. Let's start the party in my pants. Arresting officer, Cupid. All right, baby doll.
Thank you.
Nice job, sweetie pea.
I love you guys.
We love you too.
Stay safe out there, Denise.
That's right.
By the way, possibly the most obscure bit I've ever heard of in radio in my life.
What, custom strip song?
This wouldn't made anybody think of this.
I have no idea.
It's so funny, but I wouldn't have thought of this in 1,000 years.
Hey! Okay. You realize if I'm driving in my car alone and I switch the radio station and I hear... I start... All right, we'll take ourselves a little break, but news when we come back, T.
Yes, well, you know, Steve Irwin's daughter, Bindi, has a new show, mm-hmm. and she's been making the press rounds. We're going to hear from her, why Madonna can't stop swearing, and what exactly is going on with Meredith and McDreamy.
Next on the Adam Carolla Show.
The Adam Carolla Show, your news leader. Live, local, late-breaking. Teresa Strasser with the news that matters.
Suzanne Summers, cry me a river, all your thigh masters burn.
Teresa Strasser, the number one Jewish news reporter on this station right now. The Adam Carolla Show.
Well, let's do it, baby. Without any further ado, Teresa Strasser in the news.
David Beckham making big international news. He's leaving his current team, Real Madrid, to come play right here for the Los Angeles Galaxy, part of the Major League Soccer group. And he's going to be making, it's not official, but the British news reports say he signed a 5-year contract worth $250 million, including endorsements.
I feel like they should have done with soccer in this country what they did with the metric system, something else that came from Europe that we decided to reject in the mid-70s. Like, look, it's better. Yes, I understand. It's a better game. It's a better sport. It's a better system. It's a better way to crunch numbers. We understand it's better. We don't like it.
We don't
now
like
leave.
It. Bye.
Well, with Beckham coming, there could be a resurgence.
Now.
Of the metric system?
Exactly.
Here's the deal. I would watch soccer if they took the ball and they made it a little more oblong shape. They stretched it out.
And could throw it, maybe?
And could throw it.
Okay.
And then they put helmets on and they turned black and gained 150 pounds and started colliding at 40 miles an hour in the middle of the field. Then I would start watching soccer. Wait a minute. We have a sport like that. It's called football.
Now, in entertainment news, as if that's not entertainment news, Steve Irwin's daughter, Bindi, has a new show. It's called Bindi the Jungle Girl. She's 8 years old, and she's been sort of on the press tour promoting her show, which is sort of controversial because she's not only a little girl, but her father recently died, obviously, in an unfortunate stingray attack. She went on Larry King Live with her mom, Terry. I'm going to play a little clip of her. It's just about the most adorable thing you will ever hear in your life. Here is Bindi Irwin.
What kind of songs you sing?
I sing kind of songs, active kind of songs.
Like?
All about animals.
Give me an example.
Example, when the hippo moves their hips, the monkey just flips. The lion's hypnotized, can't believe his eyes when the hippo moves their hips.
First off, her dad is more alive than Larry King is right now.
Right.
So if it's any consolation, Bindi, if you're listening to Dad.
Then it's really sad, and a stingray killed my dad.
I have a couple of thoughts. One is, she's the cutest girl in the world.
Cutest girl in the world.
When I look at her, I keep thinking she could either be the most attractive adult like I've ever seen, or she could look like Ron Howard's brother. Like Ken Howard.
That's so, you're mean.
I'm just saying, she has a kind of a look that could either
Clint Howard.
She looks like, she's either going to look like Clint Howard, or she's going to be the most spectacular looking woman in the world. I can't figure it out. She seems to go either way.
You know why you could be right?
Look, I'm talking about 2-3 years down the road here.
Do you remember the adorable child on Gentle Ben?
That's Clint.
That was Clint. And then he grew up into that monster thing.
And Tina Yathers was cute.
That's right.
Yeah.
Now, but here's the thing I said to my wife when she was sitting there and she was talking about the day and all that kind of stuff. And everyone is just smitten. I said, I wonder if everyone just goes back to Australia talks in a normal voice and starts laughing their ass off. Because we're so enamored with these people. But there's a part of it that just makes me think it's a diabolical act. Like, they know we're eating out of their hands. You know what I mean? Like, I wonder if they just go back to their pub and they're like, oh, Christ, I got to get to drop that crappy attitude. Now, someone get me some heroin. I got to go back to the States and steal some more money.
I need a shrimp on the Barbie now.
Well, I don't think Bindi's shooting up just yet, but I'm curious, Danny, what you think of someone so young making the press tour and all of that.
Well, Danny would have named her Bindle, by the way.
Or Bundle. As a matter of fact, I was on Fox News Network yesterday discussing this with a child psychologist. And I had to say, in all honesty, because I know that family. I've been to Australia dozens of times and had the pleasure of meeting that family. And I happen to think it's not only not exploitative, I think it's beautiful. Steve, I think he made a mistake with having Crikey be his slogan and always wear the jumpsuit even when he swam.
Right.
He made himself kind of clownish. That was the most informed man I ever met. Just a dedicated naturalist, and I see his daughter carrying on the family work. See, if I die tomorrow and my daughter wants to carry on my legacy, she just needs to start drinking.
At 8 years old, though, at 8 years old, can she really make her own decision to be a TV star?
I think she can certainly make her own decision not to be.
And it's one of these things where, you know, if this is exploitation, sign me up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, she'll land on her feet, and probably staying busy is the best way for her to deal.
I think it's lovely. I think it's lovely.
Right.
Well, she's an adorable little girl. Madonna's also adorable.
One of the very few things that like happen, because I'm, you know, tragedy plus time equals comedy.
Yes.
I don't wait any time at all. I make jokes before the body falls and hits the floor. And I waited on Irwin because I really admired him. I haven't
almost
made an Irwin
20
joke.
Well,
a minute ago.
Let's talk about Madonna. Now, first she
I'd kill her.
I love Madonna. She took sides in the feud between Rosie and Donald. She took Rosie's side. Of course, they were in a league of their own together. And then she let us in a little bit on what happens in her family to do with swearing. Here is Madonna on the Today Show.
You get penalized for saying bad words in our house. So I'm actually the person that has to pay the most amount of fines.
So we do the same thing. It's a buck. So how much have you shelled out?
Actually, 5 pounds.
5 pounds, of course.
Bucks.
So how much have you shelled out, do you think?
Oh, hundreds.
Really?
Yeah. It's quite expensive.
I know. Well, but then
my mouth is quite expensive.
That's not what I hear.
Yeah.
Do your kids swear? Do you allow them to swear?
Uh-oh. I don't want to talk about this. I get so much. Yes, I do.
He has one of those swear jars, but it's shaped like a vagina. But you have to throw in 50 cents every time.
Did you see? I hate to bring up the shit. It's canceled, so I'm not making any money. I'm not plugging anything. But did you see on the episode of Breaking Bad where we went out coyote hunting and wrapped my dog in bacon?
Yes, that was a good one.
And we're all shooting and screaming, come on, bitch, thinking it was a coyote. And it turned out to be a lady with a baby stroller we were shooting at.
Yes.
We got a lot of
How about something wholesome? Grey's Anatomy. Grey's Anatomy back last night. And
Wholesome?
Wholesome. Meredith snores, and McDreamy can't really deal with it. Let's take a listen.
I find it charming that such a big noise can come from such a little person.
Do you know what's not charming?
What?
Your morning breath.
Sorry. What?
I'm just saying, seeing how you're always up before me, you might consider brushing your teeth.
Okay, this is me brushing my teeth.
This is amazing. Is the show always that good?
I liked the show until I decided it was in love with itself. And if you listen to the musical score, especially minus the visuals here on radio, you hear how the score is so in love with it. Do you get that?
Yes. Yes.
Everything is so precious on that show.
Yes, it does love itself. And when it does voiceover, then I fall a little out of love with it. Although I thought it was an interesting angle last night that he can't sleep with her because the snoring keeps McDreamy up. So then she finds out that he's been sneaking away during the night. But it turns out she has daddy abandonment issues because her father left her. So she says, McDreamy, you have to stay the night and sleep with me. Even though I snore.
Cathartic. I mean, interesting.
Crap.
All right.
Well, one last thing. You can catch Adam Carolla tonight on Last Call with Carson Daly.
That's
at 1:35 on NBC. And if you want to see an American genius, why don't you do that? 1:35 a.m. I'm Teresa Strasser. That's the news.
Teresa Strasser with the real news. CNN.
Thank you, baby doll. We need to take a quick break. When we come back, Judah Freelander. He's the writer from 30 Rock, the one with the crazy hat and the crazy glasses.
Yes.
He's actually wearing the crazy hat and the crazy glasses right now. One of the funniest new shows on TV, 30 Rock. Judah Freelander, next.
Mm-hmm.
back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Maybe I'll finally start getting some respect around here.
What's up, Flappy Butt? You look weird today. Hey, Pete, you want to see a comic book with pregnant zombie nuns?
Yes, I do.
Cool.
From 30 Rock, Judah Friedlander on the Adam Carolla Show.
Good to see you, Judah. Judah, for those of you who don't know, is the one with the Charles Nelson Reilly glasses and the cap that always says something clever on it. Yes?
Trucker hat.
But yeah, right. Or something stupid. But you could definitely beat up Charles Nelson Reilly.
Yeah, you're a lot
more man.
I'm an athlete. Yeah.
You probably know him as the hug guy from that Dave Matthews video every day.
Or possibly from Brian's favorite all-time drop.
Yeah.
I consider myself a nerd.
That's
you were
right.
An American
That's
Splendor. American you were so Splendor. Good in that.
Thanks. Yeah, I played Toby the Nerd. That was fun.
Well, Judah's going to be at the Irvine Improv tonight through Sunday. Improv.com is where you go. Can I ask a few questions about 30 Rock?
Yes, sir.
Because there's some personalities on that show that I know of that seem, well, I don't know if I want to call them abrasive, but like Tracy Morgan is clinically insane.
Yes, is he not? Yeah, Tracy's nuts, but I've known Tracy probably like 12 years, so I get along with Tracy great, but, you know, he's a little more in control on the show than when he's doing a stand-up. Because my question is, can you find him when you need him? When somebody else...
Yeah, he's always there. Tracy's never late. He's always there. Yeah. He's always chilling in his dressing room, you know. He's got some incense burning and...
Got some old King Kong movies.
I wonder how many... Sometimes I think about guys who... I wonder if they're as nutty as we think they are, because if you're nuts, you have a sort of, it's an ultimate excuse. In a way, I mean, if you're nuts, you can show up late, you can try to take a gun through the airport, you can do almost anything, and it's like, come on,
you're a genius.
It's Andy
you can
Dick.
Just do whatever you want.
Yeah, like Bonaducci, out of control, he can do whatever he wants.
Right.
But if you're Pat O'Brien, then you get a bunch of crap because you'll come across as nuts. But speaking of that, how about Alec Baldwin?
Baldwin is prima donna? No, not at all. He's actually my favorite guy to work with on the show, man, because... first of all, he's a huge comedy fan, and he loves comics, and, you know, I think most people know him as a dramatic actor, but I think deep down the guy loves comedy the most, and it's totally fun. And
if you see him on SNL, you realize he has a pretty good grasp of comedy.
Yeah, he's a funny
dude. But he's brilliant, though. I mean,
he's really funny.
He would never get the credit he deserved because he was so handsome.
Right,
and then
right.
finally he got fat, and then people gave him the credit he deserved.
The good news is you're fired.
We'll get him on the show, and you can explain that.
I told him that in my dressing room once.
Danny has words of praise for you, Danny.
But, no, he's really cool, and one thing with him, since when he does his scenes, he kind of takes over a little bit, and he kind of does things his way. Mm-hmm. So if I have a scene with him, there's a little more liberty for me to improvise around and stuff, and I like doing that. That's my favorite thing to do.
How closely scripted is it?
I'd say it's 98% scripted. Yeah. It's almost all word for word. Even Tracy's stuff on the show, which many people think is him ad-libbing, it's word for word.
Really? It seems ad-lib.
It's just that Tina, you know, she worked with him for years on Saturday Night Live and just knows him so well.
That's Tina Fey.
She rocks, by the way.
Yeah, she's awesome. Yeah, I couldn't ask for a cooler boss because she's really funny and she's cool.
Pretty hot.
I'd like to hate her she's smart and beautiful and brilliant and successful, but you can't because she's so good.
And I want to have sex with her for those exact same reasons.
Yeah. I felt that way, too. Yeah, she's one of the few hot chicks that you could have sex with and no one would give you the look like, oh, come on, we know what you're there for. You know, you'd actually move up a notch.
Right.
And, yes, I wanted to hate her, too, but she's so complimentary and so friendly and so talented. Really makes
sense.
Yeah,
she's
sick.
Great. Yeah.
Yeah.
I had Judah, who's just an ass. Yeah. He comes in here all rude, stuck up.
That's me, man.
So, 30 Rock, NBC, by the way, Thursday nights at 9:30. Improv tonight.
Tonight.
What do we, what can we expect from Judah Friedlander tonight at the Improv?
Well, you know, I just, you know, talk about how I'm a great athlete and a world champion and get a lot of chicks. You know, that's pretty much what I do.
So what kind of sports?
You name it, I've done it.
Basketball.
Pole vaulting, yeah. Basketball, I'm good. I played basketball at DeVry for about 40 weeks.
And then they had a team.
Yeah, we were Division 558. We mostly played Guatemala middle schools.
How many chicks do you get?
A lot. I hooked up with 40 yesterday.
Well, do you get out?
I wasn't even planning on it, man. They just kept coming over, ringing my doorbell.
Really?
Yeah, and it was all for charity.
You had sex with them for charity?
Yeah. All the proceeds went to benefit women with low self-esteem. And I think it was very, you know, it's a
good
thing.
That's sweet of you, man.
I do a lot of charity work. I do a lot of charity work.
Really?
Yeah, it's pretty cool stuff.
Do you play any football? You ever get out on the gridiron?
Yeah, I played football at DeVry for a while. And I think the Bears have called me, so I might be playing for them this weekend.
Chicago Bears?
Yeah, because Rex Grossman isn't doing too well, so I'm going to take a couple steps.
How about, like, it's not really a sport, but something I'm into, weightlifting. Do you do any weightlifting
at all? Yeah, I do some weightlifting,
Hold on.
What do you shoulder press?
You have to ask that
what
question.
Shoulder press?
Look at him.
I
know,
what do you shoulder press?
What do I shoulder press? 120.
Okay, I do about 275.
Wow.
While running on the treadmill at level 10.
How's your balance?
At the steepest incline.
Gee, I feel like just a little
My treadmill has a hurdle on it.
Oh, wow.
There's a hurdle right in the middle. I got to run, leap over it, land duck, slide under it, and it's all underwater.
My treadmill, swear to God, has an ashtray on it.
Yeah.
Swear to God. Swear on my life.
That's hilarious. I don't do that. I'm a role model to children.
Oh, boy.
So you put a hurdle on your treadmill.
Yeah, right
so
in the middle. I got to run, leap over it, land, immediately duck, slide under it.
So it's just hinged. It just flaps down and then pops up when it comes around again.
Did I see you on the Grammys? Did that whole act when
Yeah, that was you in that
video.
That was
amazing.
Yeah.
Wow, so you play football. You're quite a lady killer.
Yeah.
Obviously, your body's a temple.
And well, that thing, when you look at me, you know I'm 100% natural.
There's no steroids.
There's no, you know, Barry Bonds questions or anything
like
that.
I'm out of this conversation.
Yeah. I would have thought
I'm
you were juicing. I would swear you're juicing.
I'm all natural. Full of juice.
All right.
So I used to.
Oh, used to juice.
But now I'm clean.
So it's all about...
back in the 80s, you know, everyone was doing it, you know.
Satisfying the ladies, athletics, and giving back to the community.
Yeah.
Anything else? Any other hobbies?
Not really, man. I think that's enough.
So you think those are the three you'll hit on tonight at the Improv?
Yeah, that's the general theme, you know.
How about baseball? You're playing any of that?
Yeah, I actually used to play for Anaheim.
Oh, yeah, the Angels.
Yeah.
The Angels?
Wow. Yeah, I was a long stop. I was right behind the shortstop. It was a new position I created.
Great position.
But I broke the home run record.
You did.
For distance.
Really?
It was a home game at Anaheim, and I hit the ball all the way to the top row of the upper deck of Dodger Stadium.
Wow.
Inter-stadium home run.
He hit it to another stadium.
The umpire, he let the whole team run around the bases.
That's amazing.
Wow.
And then I hooked up the pitcher, actually. He killed himself right on the mound. And then I hooked up with his wife on home plate.
Well, what about
during the game?
During the game, yeah, it was a standing ovation. It was family night too.
So you actually
this. Yeah, ready? One stadium to the other.
That's
right.
He
kills himself. You have sex with his wife on home base.
Yeah.
Home
and it was family night. You guys should have been there.
Family night.
Yeah.
Wow.
I don't know why the press didn't cover it, but it was.
Were they giving away Judah Friedlander bobbleheads that night?
I think it was bat day.
Okay.
Yeah.
It is funny that all the days that people decide to throw things out on the field days have been eliminated. There used to be, you know, beer bottle collector day.
Yeah. You can't do anything anymore,
day.
Right?
Monkey wrench day.
It's all Nerf day, really. Yeah, I know. All right, we need to take a quick break. Judah Friedlander is here, going to be at the Irvine Improv tonight through Sunday.
And when you see this physical specimen, just know as much as I talk about hitting the gym and stuff, I pale. In comparison
to
that.
It's about low body fat.
Chiseled.
Jenny, thank you. I'm honored, man.
Ladies swoon, men fear him.
Yes.
Yeah, that's true.
We'll take a quick break.
I swoon and fear you.
We'll be right back after this. Well, I'm out of time. Judah.
Yes, sir.
We've got some big-ass men in here today.
Irvine Improv. Mm-hmm. He is shredded. Irvine Improv tonight through Sunday. Improv.com is where you go.
Yeah, I want to give the number there real quick, too, if I could. 949-854-5455 for tickets.
That's where you should call to go see Judah Friedlander tonight. Also, the Tuttle Shot, Alexander, and, of course, our own Danny Bonaducci is going to be at Pechanga Casino tonight. Tonight, I should say.
Yep. And I'll be off stage, by the way, in time to totally see you tonight on the Late Late Show.
No, Carson Daly, 1:35 a.m. NBC. Daly.
All right. Until next time, this is Adam Carolla saying mahalo. I'm bending that F. Carolla into a pretzel right now.